to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Sumwell, will you please take the roll?
Commissioner Miglek.
Here.
Commissioner Ritter.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Commissioner Bennett.
Here.
And Commissioner Fowler.
Here.
Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You have before you approval of the minutes for Thursday, July 5th, 2012. Zero. Any discussion? If not, is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it, motion carries. There is a request to take a very, hopefully, very simple item, item D, out of order. Charles G., is that correct? G. Crump, Renee M. Crump. It's my understanding the planning staff is recommending approval of this?
That is correct.
Okay. And I guess I would turn to the commissioners to see if they have any problems with that. If not, Ms. Crawley?
Just want to be sure that I guess there was a recommendation to revise plat be registered with the county clerk and they would agree to do that?
Yes, they will have to record the plat with the county.
That's my only question.
Okay. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a condominium plat for 8977-79 Court Grass Circle Condominium at 8977 and 8979 South Court Grass Circle West, Lot 32, Prairie Grass Preserve Subdivision to allow for conversion of a duplex into a two condominium units?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. We now turn back to regular order of business, which is item 4A. Item A, application for a site plan amendment to swap land with property located. Oops, sorry, wrong agenda. That was community development. Too many agendas. That would be item 3, public hearings and business items. Item A, David W. Behrens, principal of Greenberg Farrow Architecture, Inc., Perrin Meyer Grocery Store and Department Store and Garden Center Development. We are here to for the extension and continuance of the public hearing that took place at our last Plan Commission meeting. Mr. City Attorney, is there any need to reread the public notices, or can we proceed?
No, Your Honor, simply commence the continuation of the public hearing.
Okay. With that, I think there's a request to do something like a five-minute presentation by the applicants just to, for those parties that may not have been here in the past.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor, members of the Plan Commission. I'm Brian Randall, attorney for Meyer Stores. And with me this evening, as we were all present on July 5th, is Dave Behrens, the architect and planning consultant we have with Greenberg Farrow, and Mike Flickinger, real estate director for Meyer. Our initial presentation, we'd like to have Dave Behrens go through a quick update, a few slides of changes or updates we've had since July 5th, when we were before most of the Plan Commission, and Mike Flickinger will have a couple of comments, but then we'd like to allow the public to speak. They obviously, they're here on their own time, and then we'd like the opportunity, obviously, to respond to questions they may have, questions the Plan Commissioners may have, and talk about the conditions or recommendations of staff.
So, you mean after the public hearing is concluded?
Correct.
Okay.
So if that's agreeable, we'll do a quick couple slides here when Dave has the computer updated.
It seems to me every time I had to do a PowerPoint presentation, I always had problems with
While he's doing that, a couple of comments that I wanted to make, and actually I can talk about some materials I left for the plan commissioners. I distributed extra copies of a document entitled 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan and Crossroads Trade Area Regulating Plan Addendum dated June 25th. That was a document that should be in the public file. I know at the public hearing for Common Council last week, it was not part of the packet. I gave this document out last week to the council members. I just wanted to make sure the Plan Commission members, as you're considering the comprehensive plan amendment that we have requested, that you have all the information at least available to you in front of you. If it wasn't sent to you or part of the packet, it should have been, because as it's indicated, we did file in June 25th. But in any event, we were asked by staff to address some of the issues related to the 2025 plan and the crossroads, so we submitted that document. I also distributed an email from Sarah Nowacki, who spoke on July 5th. She was a supporter of the store. She indicated that she could not be here tonight, and so she forwarded that email to me, and I asked that that be put in part of the record. I do not have extra copies, but I believe Craig Haskins submitted an email in support as well. So if you don't have that, I have a couple copies I could leave it. But those are just some housekeeping items. And are we ready to go with your slides? I'll turn the microphone over to David Barrett.
Okay, thank you. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. David Behrens with Greenberg Farrow, located in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Again, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak this evening. I wanted to keep it very brief and short relative to the presentation, so obviously we have the opportunity for the public to speak.
Let me interrupt you. There are seats up here if anyone's wanting them. And some seats over here as well.
Really what I wanted to do is simply update you from what has occurred since the last Plan Commission meeting, primarily in a bullet point fashion as to who we've met with and what discussions we've had or what discussions we know have occurred on this project. And just quickly, the first bullet point is, as we understand it, there was a city meeting with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, along with our consultant from Traffic Analysis and Design, reviewing the proposed road improvements. I believe from that meeting, I think the design has remained somewhat consistent, but if the city has additional information to provide on that, that would be great to hear. Additionally, we did have conversations with Heidi Kennedy, if you recall, at the last meeting. There was a memo written by Heidi from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation relative to shoreline protection and the potential of taking action. What we learned from the conversations with Heidi was that, in essence, our application was not received in her office at the same time that the meeting was heard, in essence. So it caused her to write a memo to describe that she hadn't received the application yet. It was premature. But since then, she does have the application that kind of passed in the mail, in essence, partially because we simply delayed until July 1st because the Wisconsin Department, the DNR's regulations changed effectively July 1st, and we did not want to confuse the submission between two sets of regulations. Third bullet, Kathy, also with the DNR, she's responsible for the review of our wetland plans. We have had conversations with her in generalities. As described, she's had the plans for about 2 to 3 weeks. The discussions, honestly, were simple from the standpoint that initially when we met with her, we were disturbing about an acre and a half worth of wetlands. During that meeting, she had encouraged us to find opportunities to reduce that. And at the last presentation, we in essence, presented that we did rotate the building, we moved the building forward to reduce parking, and we made some subtle adjustments to allow us to reduce the impacts. We are now less than an acre. We believe, I think it's right around 0.92, if I remember the number correctly. We continue to have discussions with the DNR regarding stormwater permitting, both from a quantity and a quality standpoint, which is really bullets 4 and 5. From a quality standpoint, which is removal of TSS, which is removal of debris, basically, that you get, or oils and other things within a parking field. We are exceeding that, and a letter has been submitted to the city basically describing that we are in compliance. From a quantity standpoint, we've also been having conversations both with the city and with the MMSD relative to making sure that we achieve the quantity of stormwater detention that we need. For those in the audience, I know there's a lot of concern, or there has at least been expressed concern regarding some flooding within the area, and how does the Meyer project impact that flooding? And I'll let the city engineer and speaker correct me, but we, in essence, are required to not release any greater than what is released today by state statute, as I understand it. But additionally, we are also required to look at both the 2-year and 100-year storm, which is really an event as to how much rain you are going to get during any one of those periods. From that, we are actually improving what exists out there today at about an 80% rate. And there's a lot of details and a lot of numbers that we should go through, but it is going to be a positive impact to the residences within the area. Again, that was the first bullet, discussions with the MMSD. We have had discussions with the Army Corps. It's kind of simultaneous with the Wisconsin DNR relative to the wetland permits. We, of course, are having ongoing conversations with the staff discussing landscape. There is one comment relative to the calculation and the quantity of trees that we're preserving within the wetland area itself. The conversations that we had with the staff is there's a lot of trees out there and a lot of quantities. And so what the staff has allowed us to do is go out on site and, in essence, provide a count of what we believe are significant trees or trees that are larger than 6 feet in height. In fact, we counted trees that are more in the range of 4-inch caliper, which are 10 to 15 feet in height, provide that conservative number, and that's the number that was provided within our submission. We did not go through and count only 6-footers and things of that sort. Staff has received bullet point number 4 on this slide, a concurrence letter from SewerPAC relative to the wetland secondary environmental corridor. And we are ongoing conversations with SewerPAC regarding the, and it's cut off, the floodplain limits adjacent to Loomis Road. There was a flood study that was prepared almost up to Loomis Road. It stopped short of it. From that, we've done our own topographic survey and have extended that information into our project. And we're discussing right now with the city and sewer pack as to where the proper floodplain limit line is. Additionally, we have had numerous conversations with adjacent properties, which I'll let Mike and Brian expand upon, and then some of the community tax benefits that, again, I will let them expand upon at the same time. The only other thing that I have to add, just for clarification, is this exhibit that we had prepared, and we've got a little bit of light on it, but there was a lot of discussion as far as the ability to screen the truck loading area on the back of the building and trying to illustrate what wall we were producing. We went ahead and did an illustration somewhat from the front of the building looking towards that so you can specifically see the lengths of the trucks, the loading dock associated with it, and the wall that we are proposing to construct that is 12 feet in height and extends beyond the trucks themselves. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brian and Mike for...
What about the landscape screening? Is that something you're planning on putting in there?
Yeah, it is. In fact, it's somewhat faded out in this exhibit because of the light, but we have a two-tiered retaining wall, in essence, starting beyond the edge of the brick wall that you see next to the trucks. It extends around the entire truck dock area, and we're proposing evergreen trees to be planted within that, correct? Behind that, of course, we've illustrated some of the existing plant material that is there today as far as trees and whatnot that also provides that screening buffer.
Any
before we open it up to the rest of the public to speak, I just wanted to make a comment on behalf of Meyer. You know, we are very excited about this particular project. We are grateful for the community coming out to talk about the project with us, both in the public hearing previously as well as the public hearing tonight, and also all those that took time out of their schedules to attend our function, where we basically had an open house for the community so that they could come out and express both things that they liked and things that they were concerned about. I think at the end of the day, since the first meeting that we've had with you guys is an introduction, I think we've come a long way. We're excited about the project. We're excited about the overall quality of this development. And certainly we are hopeful that we will have an opportunity to put our foot forward and show you how good of a community member we are, and certainly look forward to that opportunity.
Great. Thank you.
The only thing I'll add is that we do have our full slideshow presentation available to the extent, as the meeting goes on, you want to go forward. We're not going to go through it now, but Dave has them all. That includes line-of-sight shots for this rear loading dock area. It includes the building elevations, both what we initially presented, where we are today, the current site plan, all the information that already was shown July 5th, we do have available, so we can go back. But at this point, unless there's a specific need, we'd like to turn it over to the public. We've been at my count 80 days here since we had our concept review before the committee of the whole. Tonight's the 80th day since that public process, and as Mike said, they've studied this site very long and hard, and they've been hard at work for many more than 80 days. But as far as this public process, we're almost 3 months into this, and we've evolved the plan, and we're very excited about it. So we're hoping, and we understand July 5th the need was to hold for that night, but tonight we're hoping that the Commission can make some recommendations in advance of some. So.
Can you do two things? Put up the, if you have it, the view of what the facility will look like, the landscaping view, final architecture.
The ones up there now are the existing condition.
I think that's it. Okay. And let me see. You brought up concept review. What is your opinion of what took place at the committee of the whole on the concept review?
Well, the concept review was held on April 30th for this project. And for the benefit of the members in the audience who may not know, the process in the city of Franklin on a major project such as this is to start with concept review in front of the Common Council. It's an opportunity for an applicant, a developer, to come in and show their vision for the site and what they would like to do, as well as introduce a number of issues that may come up. In our case, one of the main issues that this project must deal with is the fact that the Crossroads Trade Plan, as a comprehensive plan, prohibits buildings in excess of 125,000 square feet. Our building is 191,000 square feet. And the plan, among other things, also prohibits 24-hour operations. And Meyer stores are 24-hour operations, and we propose 24/7 for these store hours. So in the concept review, in addition to design issues, and we do have in the slideshow presentation what we showed on April 30th, which did not look as good as this building did. Our first building was much more simple than this, but Meyer has invested in what the architecture will be. At that concept review, the Common Council had a pretty wide-ranging discussion. As I recall, it went on for 45 to 60 minutes. They asked us questions, but they also, the elected officials, had debate amongst themselves. And the consensus as we walked away from that meeting was that a clear signal that we should proceed with investing a lot of time, and certainly time even of people here in the audience, and money to revise the plans, to adapt the plans, and to improve them, both in reflection of what we were hearing them talk about, a number of the wetlands issues, as Mr. Behrens described. We've moved the building, we've rotated it. Stormwater detention, at that time we had one large pond, and one of the clear messages was that we should split that pond and move that. We've adjusted the Loomis Road access point so that it aligns directly with the Crossroads plan vision. And we also heard from the council that evening, again, they did not make an ordinance change, but we heard a clear signal that for a project like this, designed and situated for the right location, that the big box ordinance could be something that should be amended. And in fact, staff is recommending that in the materials before you tonight. That's a recommendation that staff has made. as well as concerns. We certainly heard concerns about the 24-hour operations and, in particular, Puce Road access. But that's why we went through with a full traffic impact study. We've engaged with DOT, and those decisions are at the DOT level. And the 24-hour operations of our store, they asked us on day one, was that something that we needed for this site? And we said from day one, yes, Meijer stores are 24/7. So our sense from that was a clear signal to proceed. It was not an approval by any stretch of the imagination, because as we've seen, we went from April 30th on concept review to May 17th, the neighborhood meeting next door, where we had that night well over 150 people pass through. We had then, of course, Plan Commission July 5th, Common Council public hearing July 10th, and here we are, day number 80, in that public process on Plan Commission a second time. So we've invested, we've improved the plan, and we think it's at a point where it's addressing all those needs and concerns, and also will contribute something to the community, which, based on my calculation, would be an annual tax payment to the school district of $174,000 per year, and to the city itself, $87,000 per year, because of the new development at this site, and we're not seeking any public assistance or TIF money.
Yeah, the reason I asked is so that people would understand that. The concept reviews used to take place here at the Plan Commission, but there was a desire on the part, I would say, majority membership of the council to try and streamline the business process to make Franklin more business-friendly, and to instead move the concept review to the council so that developers such as yourself or others would get either sort of a kind of a thumbs-up or thumbs-down as to whether there's any hope at all whether you should proceed. And the rationale behind that was so that a great amount of time and expense and turmoil would be avoided, both in the community and also, for your level. In essence, there's a desire on the part of the council not to waste business people's time and money. And so that's why the concept review was, in fact, moved to the council.
And we appreciate that. We know that the Plan Commission used to have that and didn't have the benefit of that, although I do know from the sign-in sheets from our May neighborhood meeting that Mr. Ritter and Mr. Micklig were actually, they signed in. Maybe others of you happened to be there that night. But I think the Plan Commissioners certainly took the opportunity to come through on those other instances to see what our project was about. And we appreciate that they did that. And that's also why we understand on July 5th the need to hold us for the second meeting.
Okay. Anything further?
Not at this time.
Okay. What I'm going to do is open up the public hearing. It's a continuance of the last public hearing regarding the commonly referred to Meijer Grocery Store, Department Store, Garden Center, proposed to be placed at the corners of Highway 36 and Highway 100. So with that, I'm going to open this up for public hearing. I'm going to limit speakers to 3 minutes per speaker, first round. If there are people that want to speak longer, we will ask the Plan Commissioners if that's allowable. I'm guessing it probably will be. But we want to have everybody have the opportunity of speaking that wants to speak here tonight. And I also want to thank everyone for coming out on kind of a nasty night in the middle of July and participating in their government. So with that, anyone wishing to come forward and speak during the public hearing, and again, going to limit it to 3 minutes. Mr. Sumwell, can you keep a track of the time for me? Thank you.
Ann Booth Grimtrop. I live at 8310 South 100th Street, about a third mile north of the Krauts Room. I have lived in Franklin for more than 35 years, and my husband has spent his whole 80 years of life in Franklin. His parents farmed the land that is now idle wetlands behind our house. They were able to take care of a family of seven with this wetlands, but it was farmable at that time. We created, the people who sold it and sold the topsoil, created this to make it unusable. Okay, this widening of a highway will impact me more adversely than any way possible this Meijer store. The Meijer store can only be a positive. I have seen many, many changes in the years, but any improvements in Franklin come with a struggle. What if nothing had changed? We'd still have parts of the Quakies and farms. But as people moved in and built homes on the farmland, we needed schools, we needed roads, we needed stores, so things had to change. Now, what an opportunity we have as Franklin citizens, neighbors, taxpayers, voters, with the Crossroads Project today. We can improve the derelict eyesore that we call Crossroads into something we can all be proud of and benefit from. It could still be a sleazy bar with the clientele that went with it, or it could be something even worse. Is that what we want? When they had it operating as Illusions, I could hear the racket they'd call noise at my house. I don't want that. Yes, we need to think about the increase of traffic, wetlands, lights, noise, 24/7 operation, size of the store, delivery trucks, crime, and anything else. Improved looking crossroads, the eyesore would be gone, and something that is beautiful, functional, and we can take pride in will be there. Is that not a good thing? Tax revenue base increase. Who wouldn't want that? Is that not a good thing? Jobs, infrastructure, and ongoing employees for the store. We need jobs. Is that not a good thing? A new business and neighbor, which I hope will happen, that contributes to social causes of the area with financial assistance based on their percent of the profit. Is that not a good thing? Wetlands. Let's be serious. We have more than our share of wetlands in Franklin, and Myers are willing to work them into the landscape and improve their function. We deal with them when it comes to road construction. Why not for Myers? Increased traffic, of course, but that comes with new homes, businesses, schools, comes more people and cars. Myers has gone out of their way to figure ways to help the flow of traffic. Is that not a good thing? Most deliveries would be during normal business hours, and with a crew on duty 24/7, they would unload any trucks and they would leave.
Can I ask you to sort of sum it up?
Okay, I only have.
Okay.
We wouldn't have to wait for crew to come in and unload. That's not a good thing. 24/7 operation could be a deterrent for some lowlifes, as there is always someone on duty and watching the premises. Is that not a good thing? The magic of 125,000 or 192,000 square feet. We have a chance for a nice upscale department store, and we fight over a few feet. It seems to me they're trying to give it an aesthetic appeal. Is that not a good thing? Please give Myers a chance and say yes. That would be a good thing. Thank you
very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Jim O'Malley, 8536 River Terrace Drive, Franklin. My family does have it to own property across the street, which we'd love to see someday to be able to continue the progress of Myers in the entrance of the area to be something much more of a pleasing looking entrance to the city. We also own the Orchard View Shopping Center at 76 and Rawson. What I brought with you, or me, was some emails that basically our issue is that if we can get Myers to come to Franklin, it means that there are national stores that I've gotten email responses saying that because Franklin is not or does not have the retail business in it, we are not a destination location. Thus, they are not saying that they would be interested in coming to Franklin, one being Hobby Lobby, Michaels, a number of other national brands. I really know that I believe that this kind of business would help attract more retail to our area. I, of course, get quite a bit. A few people ask me, well, what about restaurants? What about Trader Joe's and so forth? These businesses thrive off of businesses like the Meyer Project. And certainly, I believe that if we don't approve this, we will not see any improvement. And the smaller stores that surround 76 and Rawson also thrive off of the larger stores coming in. So I believe that by approving this, you will also increase the type of businesses that will expand even up to 76 and Rawson Avenue. So I hope that you guys will take tonight serious and vote for the approval for it tonight. Thank you.
Just one question for the benefit of the audience. Orchard View Shopping Center, that's where Century is located on 76 and Rawson.
Correct.
Not anymore.
Well, no, but you know what? Actually, I do want to bring up one very quick... I got 1 minute left.
This gentleman has the floor. You will all have your opportunities to take the microphone. Okay. There'll be no outbursts and no disruption of the speakers.
I just want to bring up one other fact. Almost 20 years ago, when Pick and Save came in across the street from our shopping center where Century is, we were very much opposed to that project because we felt that the competition coming in was going to be a negative impact on our Century store and such. In fact, it had a very small impact on Century. In fact, it had a very positive because it brought new retail people coming to Franklin to shop. So our smaller tenants actually went up in their sales in that, and we got to track all that because we got monthly reports from both Walgreens, Century, and from the other stores. So we know that having more retail in the area will attract and help the other stores as well. So the belief that this might have a negative impact is not true. It is going to have a positive impact on the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Jeannie Coughlin, 8055 South Legend Drive. I, too, believe that we need to have some development in that area. My opinion comes from my experience with Myers in Michigan. I have family in Michigan, and I stop at Myers stores frequently when I'm there. And when the first speaker alluded to the fact of these beautiful buildings, I have seen nothing of a beautiful building of a Myers there. And we're talking in some very nice areas, such as Rochester Hills. The stores were not clean inside. The parking lots were full of trash, but litter. It was... When I close my eyes and I have that picture of Myers in my mind, of the Myers I visited in Michigan, it's not what I want to see on that corner. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Good evening. Janine Olson. I'm in Caitlin Woods, which is close to where Myers are put in. Before I bring out my concern or ask a question, I just want to make a comment. That for those of us several years ago who worked very hard to change the zoning law so that a big box store could not go into that section of Crossroads, we had a different vision. We had a vision of mixed use. You know, we need more restaurants. We need diverse retail and even office space. And that's what we looked for that corner, was mixed use. And so personally, I'm disappointed to see that that has not come to fruition. Instead, we're looking at big box, and that brings me to my concern, well, one of my concerns, and that is if we lift this ban or lift this zoning law, I don't know, I don't understand if it's temporary or permanent, actually, but doesn't that open a Pandora's box for other big boxes wanting to come into that area, and what is that going to look like then in Franklin in the future? Because when big boxes congregate, I mean, they do congregate, that's the issue, is they'll want to come in, many of them, super-sized stores. And that wasn't a lot of our visions for that part of Franklin in the past. So I'm just concerned about what Franklin's going to look like in that part of town. Thanks.
Yeah, by the way, nice job on the parade.
Thank you.
Darrell Whitfield, 9957 West Market Lane. You saw me back on the 5th, and I feel very strongly about this as applying here again. I've lived in Franklin for 20 years. Before that, I lived in Michigan for 14 years, the city of Warren. 6 by 6 miles, 165,000 people. My favorite store was Myers, Thrifty Acres, it was called at that time. But anytime I needed anything, I could go there, and 24 hours a day. They were a well-managed store. Good employees, clean. I'm sorry to hear that there was one that was bad, but recently visited my sons in Michigan, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I needed something, and I knew I could go down to Myers and get it. I know there's 1994, we banned big box stores, but that was 18 years ago. Times change, economy changes. 2004, we had a neighborhood complex that was set up in that area where we'd have a store with outlots. Outlots are not being filled. They were planned at Innovative Health and Fitness, never took place. So I think tax-wise, for what it brings to the Franklin School District and to the city, and I think it's a great magnet. It's an intersection that is used by people going to and from the city in both directions on Loomis and Highway 100, and I think it would be great for the area.
Thank you very much, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Mr. Mayor, my name is Tony Metville, 103211 West Church Street.
No, I got to thank you for the fireworks.
Thank you. I'm the one who orders the fireworks for the 4th of July.
Oh, great.
And I plan to install them. Thank you. One thing about this building is not built on 27th Street. And the taxes from this building are not going to go to Oak Creek. They're going to be built in Franklin School District number 5. Is going to be an advantage. This building is a lot of work that these people put in there. And I don't know if people in here know how much goes in construction, but I have spent over 50 years in the construction business. This is a gem, people. If you let this go, you'll be foolish. Otherwise, you're going to have nothing but you have there now. So I'm in favor of this, and it'll bring more business. With the southwest corner of Franklin being serviced with sewer pretty soon, this area is going to grow out there, which will bring the population into this area. When they lay out and say this will bring in about 65,000 people, the service 65,000 people, this is spread over not just today or tomorrow, it's the future. As the city grows, the 65,000 people will come. You're going to be drawing from other areas around here. They will draw. People will be curious to see what's in there. The size of the building, these people do this every day. They're architects. They have engineers. They set their property. When they set a building like this up, they put a plant of it on your site plan, and they move it around to fit into the best position. Apparently, this is the best position right now. As far as traffic, it's there. I don't know if people see about between 3:30 and 6 o'clock in the evening how much traffic comes from both ways. So I urge the Plan Commission and the City Council to do this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Someone, when we get around 20 seconds or something like that, can just raise something.
Good evening, Mayor Taylor, members of the town, the Plan Commission. John McMurtry, Forest Hill Highlands, 660 West Bridgeview,
Appleton, to see you again.
Thank you. 12 years ago, we came before you with the approval of our plans for Forest Hill Highlands, the segment immediately east of this development. We have a planned expansion of our existing Forest Hill Highlands. We opened up 32 units last year, and we're opening up 32 units this month. Our existing development, including the 32 units opened last year, is at 97% occupancy. And with the building that we're opening this month, we're actually 85% pre-leased. We've had an extremely strong reception. I would expect that all of you are familiar when we came before you last 2 weeks ago before the council with our conceptual presentation.
No, I was just pointing to Alderman Taylor's seats up here.
Okay, when we came before you, your council 2 weeks ago, with a conceptual presentation of our modification of the land that's east of this development, we were well received and we appreciate that. We think that this Meijer store would in fact be a welcome addition to our community and would positively impact Forest Hill Highlands senior community. With some concerns, and we would ask you to consider these. We've been in communication with the Meijer stores. We've indicated our concerns about, unfortunately, there has to be truck access and semi-trucks somewhere on the store. Well, it happens to be within 150 feet of our senior community. So we've responded to that. In fact, we've modified our development. We have made some transitional executive housing on our development. We'd like to be able to support this development, but we are still asking and receive today support from the Meijer stores that they would address a restriction on the truck deliveries. There's some discrepancy between our suggested wording in that agreement. In our suggested wording in that agreement, it's truck deliveries. What Meijer has said is that they would be willing to restrict semi-truck deliveries between 10 o'clock at night and 7 o'clock in the morning, except they would bring one semi-truck a night. However, they would turn off the truck engine, but they have said that they wouldn't turn off the operation of the refrigerant. What we have suggested, and I will present to the Plan Commission, is wording that's very clear. It's based on wording that we did in the New Berlin community with the Pick and Save store that's adjacent to our senior development there. What this says is the same timeline, 10 to 7, but it says truck deliveries, not just semi-truck deliveries, and with the one truck that is allowed to be delivered, that they would not only turn off the semi-truck engine, but they would turn off the refrigerant. And I'll present that for the record. The second thing that we're very concerned about is the landscaping transition to our property. It was just yesterday that we received line of sight.
And I'm getting the 20-second signal.
Thank you. But Mayor, we've got an $18 million development here, and I'd appreciate just a couple minutes to wrap up.
I appreciate that very much, but in all fairness, everybody's been waiting. So
okay.
If there's something that you'd like to say afterwards,
okay.
3 minutes, I'd
all
appreciate
right.
it. But.
Okay. The second item of concern is landscape transitions. We have indicated that we'd be like to sit down with them and review the plans, review our modified plans that have more green space and easier to accomplish the landscape transition against their development. And the last is to put into wording the vision wall blockage. So I'd like to present this to the Plan Commission to be incorporated in the public record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Hi, my name is Janet Schaefer. I live at 8234 South 34th Street, and I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we have a Meijer store on Highway 3 on the north side of Fort Wayne, and it is a beautiful store. The community loves it. My brothers live near the store, and it's a wonderful shopping experience. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oren, if you get a chance for the record, or if you get it to Dave. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Good evening.
Good evening. Actually, I'm more comfortable sitting up there. But anyways.
Yeah, you look
Bruce,
familiar.
Yeah. Bruce Kinieski, 7719 West Coventry Drive, Franklin. I strongly support this proposal and the land use. A regional retail destination is the only logical land use at this intersection of two major regional highways. Just look at a map of the metropolitan area, all southeast Wisconsin. It makes sense. I support extending the business land use to the natural dividing line of the Legend Creek Environmental Corridor, and this proposal creates an integrated walkable area. As I observed when I looked at the plan yesterday at the planning department, the plan shows a good system of internal sidewalks leading to the external system to the benefit of the homes, condominiums, and the senior housing area, similar to the benefit my neighbors and I in Techway Green enjoy of being able to bike and walk to 76th and Ross commercial area. And we do that quite frequently. And also with this proposal, I encourage the Common Council to fill in the gaps along this road of sidewalks, which was the original plan dating back to the 1990s. To walk all the way from the library to the park here down to that corner. Of course, there's always opposition, and as Mr. O'Malley stated, there was opposition to the Pick and Save Center in 1992, but I think we can all agree that it now, today, 20 years later, provides a valuable tax base with meeting the consumer needs of the community. And the Crossroads section has always been looked at as a regional shopping center area. City Engineer Bennett will recall because he showed me the plans way back in the 1960s. That area was an alternative site for Southridge. And if Southridge would have been built and the Beltline Freeway, which is proposed to go through that area, I can imagine how it would look different today than it is, and if we would have those uses go through. And I can understand how the property owners became comfortable with the crossroads regulating plan. Personally, as a professional in the planning field, I just saw it as a political maneuver to satisfy constituents because I didn't think it made sense economically for that type of use to go there. And but really, a shopping center, boutique-style shops at that major intersection. And I consider Franklin to be a community of working-class Republicans, most of us raised in blue-collar households. The spending habits of Franklin households simply cannot support the proposed uses and design of the crossroads plan. Also, I know I'm probably bumping up to my time.
Yes, it's good. Just good answers to it.
I have just several suggestions with the plan, improvements to the plan. I'll speak to those later if I have an opportunity. Thank you. And just one last thing. Mr. Behrens and I worked together in one of my client communities about 8 years ago and 10 years ago on a major major retailer. He represents his clients well, but he also works the community. Work with him on this because he works with you. And then also, if you don't want this proposal, my client community will gladly take it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Hello. My name is Joe Sinyakovich. I live at 8113 West Cutes Road. My concern is just the traffic on Cutes Road that this will bring. I mean, I'd like to see the corners developed, but I think that we could keep it to that 125,000 square foot area. If you look at that traffic during rush hour, during school season, how many school buses are there? How many school bus stops are there on Cutes Road? There's quite a few. If you get behind a school bus trying to make a left turn onto Ryan, that poor bus driver has a really hard time making that turn. And it's really, it's a safety concern. That's a dangerous corner on Cutes and Ryan. So my concern is just safety there. I mean, there's talk of a DOT plan, but what is the plan? How is that all going to be developed? So that's one concern. My other concern is on that 24 hours of operation. So I think if we could limit that, you know, I think it would be better just to reduce the noise. And like I said, to limit it to that 121,000 square feet, I think would be a better idea from my perspective. And just really, it all kind of comes down to that traffic on Hughes Road, which is my biggest concern. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Jim Lang, 8423 South 100th Street. I think Franklin and residents should be happy that something major wants to go into that area. We went through this in 04 with Walmart. We created a moratorium to change the big box store level. Then they built Menards, which is 228,000 feet. There was concerns about that being more truck people. The government of Franklin should figure out a way to make this work, address these other people's concerns about the 24 hours. The city of Greenfield and Muskego are very happy that we didn't build that Walmart here because they got one over there. They got one over there, and now they're putting food stores in. So we've got several failed shopping centers in the area, or not failed, but struggling, and they've gone through major changes and major vacancies. This corner is designed for a big store. I don't see any problem. These stores are based on what it takes to make them profitable. You cannot build a little store and expect it to work for a major chain. Listing of the items they sell in other stores, they know how they sell, they know where their profit margins are. Right now, we got a couple of derelict buildings up there. We got Dumpster City all around it. we could expand that. There are a number of areas that could be developed if there's an anchor on this corner. And as far as the 24 hours, if you go to the Walmart on Highway 100 or in Muskego, you go in there at 11 o'clock at night. In fact, the Walmart in Galesburg on Highway 100 is closing at 11 p.m. now. No store is going to stay open if nobody's coming in. They're not there for six people. So I think something should be, this should be developed here. If there's a problem with cleanliness or other things, that's the city's job to police that and make them comply with it. This opportunity is not going to come along. Neiman Marcus isn't looking to have an outlet store here. Macy's not looking to have a mini mall. When we went through the plans, everybody that sat in the other room last time, there were everybody want little shops and little walkways and little islands in the parking lot, which you couldn't possibly snowfall, with everything but palm trees in. And there were people that didn't want it because it's too big, too small, too much crime, too busy. Their union, or there were people that didn't lower themselves to going to a Walmart. Now, Walmart may not have been right for the city, but that's a lot better operation.
And I did get the signal, so.
Okay, that's fine.
But thank you very much. It was well spoken. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
I'm sorry. Jennifer Dunn, 9177A West Elmport in Caitlin Woods. And I don't want to sound redundant, but Franklin is a very large community, as we know. And a lot of the people who spoke here are not going to be involved directly because they don't live right here in the area. We do. And we're going to be affected by the construction, by the noise, by the traffic. I guess I didn't know it was a Republican community, though. I guess I'm sorry about that because I think I moved into the wrong place. I guess for the little people, I understand business. I understand Meijer is probably a very nice store. I've heard people that have been to Michigan and been to their stores, and they thought they were very nice stores, but we have a Target, we have a Pick and Save, we have a Walgreens. We already had Sendex move out on Highway 100. We had the Century store at Orchard View move out. So what happens if this one fails and then we're faced with a bigger eyesore than we had with the little one? I just would like everybody to consider all of the options, not only for you, but for everyone in the community, as I will do as well. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Dick Johnson, 8545 West Blackbird Court. I asked last time about the taxes, and I got a reply from Alder Olson. I appreciate that. I'm in favor of this thing here, Todd. I think it's about time we expand an area, get some tax money into our things, because some folks in the city hall are spending a good rate. So we need this help.
Heard that bit.
Yes. And I hope Meijer does well here. I don't think they're going to be used to the business climate that we have here. We're pretty tight in this part of the area here. You can go to some pretty good competition, so I hope you folks have your pencils sharpened and your business thinkers on, because it's a tough place to do business. And if they go under, it looks a lot nicer there than what we have right now.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
My name is Robert Schmidt, 7620 South Stonewood Circle. Probably one evening with the radio station, they were talking about this project. And basically they said, this is a no-brainer, okay deal. I was listening to it for about 20 minutes. The Meijer store is big, and big for a reason. they don't want to bring a lot of traffic in. They don't want to bring a lot of trucks. If you make it a small store, they're going to have more delivery to fill that store. There's a reason they pick their size of the store. That is to hold their traffic to a minimum. There's a lot of research, traffic patterns. You can go through your own Department of Transportation. They have studied this road for the last 6 years. 6 years they have been studying this road. They say most of the traffic will be on 36, north and southbound. It will mostly be on Highway 100. Yes, you're going to have some traffic on the Coots Road, but does the city and the planning commission plan on fixing that intersection? No. Is Myers going to do it? Yeah. At what cost? Their cost. This is a no-brainer. Pass this storm. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Hi, Terry Shearer, 8468 West Coots Road. Is it possible to go over, I know the city planner, a lot of people weren't here July 5th, and the city planner discussing why he was against it. Is it possible that he could go over again why he's against it? So the people that were here, they're here now to go over why he's against it. He brought a lot of good points out why we should have this in the area.
Yeah, I think as soon as we conclude the public hearing, we can ask Mr. Fuchs to go through that.
Okay.
The rationale for denial, the recommendation for denial. Sure. Mr. Fuchs, if you can remember that, in case I don't.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Hello, Tiffany Drahanovsky, 9545 West Coots Road. I'd like to state I'm in favor of the development. I believe it's time that Franklin take a stance and take advantage of a great opportunity to fix both an area that's blighted and not being utilized for the tax base, which is our main goal, to really focus on bringing additional jobs to the environment where we really, really do have a need, and also to provide a safer environment with a well-lit property that is maintained and likely has cameras and security to protect its own assets. I think that would be a boon to the community. There are problems with the intersections immediately around where I reside that are not able to be addressed in a timely manner. The challenges of this property being the costliness, the additional DNR issues, the additional civic issues, don't allow it to be considered for just anybody. All right. So I don't, you know, we don't have a line of people standing at the door saying, hey, you know, I want to crack at this too. It has been a long time, and the world has changed drastically in the last 8 years. The plan we have is a good one, but it doesn't mean that it's something we have to stand to in light of the drastic changes in our, in the whole world, when we could have an opportunity here if we're willing to tweak a couple things in the overall plan for the overall benefit of the long-term of the environment.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anyone that hasn't spoke yet, that wants to speak? Yes. Could please come forward. And then Mr. McMurtry. And others.
Hi, Linda Horn, 9451 West Coots. I've submitted comments in previous meetings and via email. I live directly south of where this proposal is planned for. Some of my previous concerns have been with the 24-hour operation, the Coots Road access, the need for better screening to the south. A concern that I still have is with the stormwater runoff, the wetland impacts. I listened to the July 5th meeting via the web, and I was a little bit confused, but hopefully there can be some clarity that they talked about buying credits to mitigate the damaged wetlands. So I don't know if that means they're going to fix wetlands in Rhinelander. That's not going to help the water runoff for the drainage swale that goes through the property that I own. So I'd like some clarity on that if possible. Secondly,
just for Mr. Fuchs, can you make a note on that?
The 90,000 square feet, I just think is absolutely too large. The citizens of the city have developed rules, plans, ordinances. Why can't we adhere to them? Myers cognizant of them. Be a good community citizen and show that you can respect what Franklin desires. And finally, I think with the crossroad plan that was developed, that if it was just a political farce, tell people before this happens. Don't let citizens waste their money. Don't spend money on consultants. Use that money for something else. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir.
Rick Fitzgerald, 9144 West St. Martin's Road. Just to reiterate what, some of the things I had said on July 5th, that I'm okay in principle with the idea of a fire store and a big-ish box development on that corner because it is suited for that. But I'm not okay with 190,000 square foot store. I'm not okay with 24/7 operation because those things are inconsistent with the neighborhood plan that we, that a number of us worked very hard to create. I urge patience. The the lack of people beating down the door to try to develop the site, in my view anyway, is more a reflection of a flagging economy than of a faulty plan. So the square footage limitation was put in place specifically to encourage neighborhood size development. And just so there's no misunderstanding, 120,000 square feet is still a very big box. It's would support many large retailers. Again, I just urge patience, and that if adhering to the limitations that are in place, submarines the plan, then so be it. The idea that we don't want to start down the road of turning Highway 36 into Blue Mound Road South. So.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing that hasn't spoken? Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Yes, sir. You look very familiar.
I just want to make sure the citizens got a first shot. So,
right.
Mr. Mayor, Steve Olson, 1891 South Meadow Creek Court, Franklin. I'm all.
Could you please? Yes, we. Well, no singing.
Then Casper's going to comment on my legs, and it'll be all over.
I promise.
1891 South Meadow Creek Court, Alderman from the First District. We started this in, February, Mr. Mayor? I would urge the staff, the Planning Commission, and specifically the applicant to go back and look at the original email that I sent to the Planning Commission and the applicant. The issues they've heard tonight are all the same issues that I brought up to them back in February. All we're looking for, this plan is fine as far as I'm concerned. I do agree with 90% of the recommendations of staff. However, 24-hour operation is, to me, deal breaker. You do have stores that are not 24-hour operation, and they're new stores, newer stores. So give the neighbors something to feel good about. It's not going to kill you. It may impact your revenues a tiny bit. Maybe we can negotiate something, if we have a conversation, that says no 24-hour operation the first 18 months, revisit it in 18 months. Why not? Can we talk about that? I don't know. Putes Road access, same deal. You got the access moved, but the neighbors still haven't gotten a resolution to their issues. So, I'm saying let's look at the staff recommendations. Do this very carefully.
All right. Anyone else wishing to speak that hasn't spoke? Is there anyone else wishing to speak that has not spoke? If not, Mr. McMurty, you wanted to have a follow-up, and for those that don't know, you represent a large community, in essence, in Franklin, a senior community. So,
thank you, Mayor. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that Forest Hill Highlands, who's going to have 500 senior families that are going to be affected by this, primarily positively, that we're in support of the development. I would ask the Plan Commission, when you're considering your recommendation tonight, to please review the written materials that we drafted. First of all, with regard to the semi-truck and truck deliveries, we would ask you to expand the short statement suggestion of Meyer and expand it from semi-truck to truck deliveries, and we agree with the timeline of 10 to 7. But it's very important that we not have, because it's 150 feet from our property, refrigerant trucks running or other truck deliveries during the evening. It's just not necessary. We've addressed the situation substantially similar in New Berlin, and they were more than willing to restrict deliveries from 10 to 7. We've gone beyond that and say they can bring the produce truck in. They said that was very important, but with the understanding that the truck engine and the refrigerant engine and motor is turned off. Secondly, we would ask the Plan Commission to put a condition on the approval that Meyer works with us. We've got an $18 million existing community adjacent to this property, another $4 million townhome community that's going to begin next summer. But when we get to our development immediately adjacent to Meyer, it's $18 million of additional tax base. We are affected more than anybody else in the community. Just yesterday, we got the sight lines. We've been asking for them for 6 weeks. We would ask you to put a condition on the approval that Meyer works with us on the landscape buffer. We're reasonable people. We just haven't had an opportunity to work with them. And finally, the condition of the wall. Meyer has represented that will shield the semi-truck operation. We've tried to work with Meyer and ask them to move the semi-truck. We know it's got to go somewhere. They couldn't move it. They couldn't turn it 90 degrees. At least we want to make sure that wall shields all of our residential units from a direct view. But we need to have the opportunity to work with Meyer to make sure that that's done. And then finally, the transitional landscaping that our residents are going to have to look at along that property. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Sir, anyone else? Yes, sir.
Again, Darrell Lickfield, 9957 West Margaret Lane. I think you need to get into an agreement with Meyer somewhere as to whether they're going to accept reefers at night or not. You cannot make a city regulation which is going to say you have to turn the reefer off. My experience, I've got 36 years with the Food and Drug Administration, and I was retired 5 years ago as one of the top five food experts in the country. And there's a safety guideline of 40 degrees when it comes to bacterial growth. If you force a truck in there and turn the reefer off and the temperature in that reefer goes above 40, who's going to be criminally liable when people wind up sick? So you've got to come to an agreement. Maybe they can agree no reefers at night. But
okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
Robert Schultz, 7620 South Circle. I work for a company called Unico Incorporated. We're currently developing hybrid engine for truck industry. This is being forced on the California port, soon to be probably on each coast port and some of the southern ports. What this allows the trucks to do, like if they pull into a parking lot, they won't be running their diesel engine. They'll actually be running on a hybrid. I don't know if this would. If the Meyer group are aware of this technology, but it's currently being developed here in Wisconsin, I'm afraid so. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else?
Okay, quick comments. Bruce Kineski, 7719 West Country Drive. I've learned over years that poor design can keep shoppers away, so that's why I'm very committed about design for commercial parking lots. most of you know. Overall, the plan is very good. I didn't see too many problems with it. Just that I'm glad to see that the Pute Road Highway 100 intersections will be realigned, except I noticed that the center lines of the two right-of-ways did not exactly meet at right angles. On the plan, at least the plan I reviewed yesterday, I don't know if that was an updated plan. Dick was at, but I don't know if that's an updated plan. But it should be at a right angle, especially with that berm. Take a look at that berm that's right there, because it's not at a right angle, to see if that's in the vision triangle. It might be outside the vision triangle. However, because of the unusual angle of the intersection, it might be in the vision triangle. So you may take a look at that. The parking lot aisles and the vision triangle is probably, rules are probably thrown out the window since it's not at right angles. The parking lot aisles near the Highway 100 right in, right out driveway needs to be improved because the design creates too many unusual vehicle turning movements. The aisles come in there at weird angles. Accident waiting to happen. The landscape island should be designed at 3 feet shorter than the depth of the parking spaces for improved movement and easier turns and a better shopping experience. Next time everybody's at Pick and Save, notice the landscape island design, and I bet you don't never run into the landscape islands when you turn the corners. The exterior lighting plan needs work. The photometrics show that immediately surrounding each light pole there are hot spots exceeding 10-foot candles and then quickly dissipating to between the lights to below 1 foot candle, 0.2 or 0.3 foot candles. Typically, you can 1 foot candle for a tire parking lot is normally okay. Maybe two. You can do surgery under these lights. Maybe have more lights, have more light poles, and then tone down the intensity of each light. Also, on the flip side, the thick panel readings at 0.3 and 0.2 at the entrance and exit drives with Highway 100 and Dumas are low. That should be up a bit. And also, lastly, I just quickly perused the PDD ordinance. I didn't look at anything in great detail and spent a half hour here yesterday. But paragraph D sub 1 sub B permits, and quote, display of products in pedestrian areas along the front elevation of the Meyer store, unquote. I urge you to control the displays if you haven't already done so in some of the documents. The 27th Home Depot and Lowe's front displays are obnoxious and hazardous to pedestrians. Personally, I don't shop there because of that during the springtime, because they have stuff all over the place. If you want to know the types of controls I'm talking about, ask Dave. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Or I can get you a copy from one of my clients in the same community that they represent in a major retailer. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? If not, close the public hearing. And before we go any further, Mr. Fuchs, there was a question regarding reading back what the objections were by the plan department concerning this project as it relates to recommendation of denial. So if you could read that.
Yeah, there are six applications. Staff continues to recommend approval of the continues to recommend denial of the plan development district, the natural resource special exception, and the comprehensive amendment applications, and approval of the PDD number 31 amendment, UDO text amendment, the CSM. Denial is primarily based on staff's belief that is not a neighborhood scale development, which has been planned through the 92 comp plan, the current comp plan, the Franklin First Report, the Crossroads Plan, and primarily staff has concerns with the 24-hour operations, the Garden Center loudspeaker system, the truck delivery hours, the large building size, large parking lot. The site is a single-user development opposed to a mixed-use development, the impacts on the natural resource features, and traffic impacts.
This is kind of unfair, but of all the things that you've just read, how many of those are in conflict with our ordinances? Is it two-thirds, 75%?
They are proposing the change to the ordinance for the retail size, the building size, but otherwise, and they are applying for an exception for the natural resource impacts, but otherwise the items are not contrary to the Unified Development Ordinance.
So they're not in violation of the ordinance?
Correct.
All right, I'm going to open this up to the plan commissioners.
Oh, Mayor, sorry. There was another question.
Yes. Actually, I think there were two more.
Yeah, to address the wetland banking with the DNR, that would not take place in Franklin, be the simple answer.
Okay. Do you also have, can you go through it pretty quickly, how many people you have writing basically in favor of or against?
This evening?
Yes.
10 in support, 7 opposed. I marked 1 support with concerns and 1 a question mark asking for the planning recommendation.
Okay. Does that include the letters or the emails that you received?
No, that's just who spoke this evening.
And of those, how many do you have that are against?
I did not tally those. The previous public hearing, I believe, had about 6 in support and 14 opposed.
Okay.
And I was also asked by Michael Sweeney, a member of the Fort Franklin Economic Development Commission and owner of Sweeney's Gym, to relay some comments on his behalf. He was not able to attend the meeting tonight. He is in support of the project. He commented that the Meyer Company will draw in other businesses, will increase adjacent property values. Denial will deter away from small businesses. This development can create opportunity for businesses like Sweeney's Gym. And he noted that he did not feel the Crossroads plan was a feasible plan at this time.
Okay. I'm going to turn it over to the plan commissioners, Mr. Bennett.
A question has come up with traffic. Unfortunately, the city of Franklin doesn't have jurisdiction of entrance to Highway 100 or Highway 36. These are all under the state jurisdiction. What the state has reviewed the project and came back and has said that they would not allow. And
can you hear him back there? Okay. Thank you.
Would not allow a right turn in and a right turn out on to Highway 100, that they would have to use Putes Road and then on 36th Street. So right now their proposal was that a traffic signal would be placed on Highway 36. It would be paid for by Myers. That they would not have right in and right out on Highway 100. That Myers would be required to pay the cost of a traffic signal on Putes and Highway 100, but that would not be installed until 2019, which is the time that that the road would be reconstructed. I have a major concern, and the mayor set up a meeting with the director of DOT, Representative Stone, Planning Department, and myself to discuss this. And I'm concerned that if we don't have an entrance, at least a right in on Highway 100, that we could have some major congestion on Putes Road. The plan is that Meyer's plan was to bring the intersection of Putes Road into an acceptable angle that DOT allows. DOT's review of it has basically recommended that be increased to a right angle, such that the traffic will be coming in perpendicular, and also that Myers would have to build a taper and lanes east of the intersection, such that you don't have, right now you have a merging of traffic down into from 4 lanes to 2 lanes right at the intersection, plus people trying to turn. With this, there would be a left turn lane into Myers at Putes Road. There'd be a left turn lane into Putes Road to the south or west. Unfortunately, we haven't received an answer, and I was on the phone yesterday, on the phone today, trying to get an answer from DOT, and they just are not ready to give an answer on whether we can have a right turn in. But I would be concerned for traffic going into Pute's Road if we don't have an entrance off of Highway 100. As for generating traffic on Pute's Road, they've had a traffic impact analysis. While there will be some more traffic on Pute's Road, it should be pretty much local traffic. I don't think it will induce a tremendous amount of traffic on Pute's Road. Obviously, the people that live along Pute's Road would use Pute's Road to get to the store. But I am worried about people turning in from Highway 100 into Pute's Road, that could clog up the intersection, and particularly on a Saturday, that could be quite congested. So I guess from my standpoint, I recommend to the planning commission that if we approve this, it's subject to obtaining a right turn in from Highway 100 by the DOT. And again, DOT is insisting that they have access to Pute's Road. And that's typical with DOT. They would rather see entrances onto secondary streets going into major arterial streets, because that can be controlled with a traffic signal in the future. So that's the way the state is looking at it this time. I would prefer to see a traffic signal immediately going on Pute's Road, but I don't know if we can do that, because the traffic analysis do not show warrants, and the state, because everybody all over the state wants traffic signals, they have developed a system of what they call warrants, that in order to put a traffic signal in, the intersection must meet these warrants that they have set up. So they can, the state tries to be uniform more or less throughout the state, and this is one way that they can do this without being just subjective to that. So from the standpoint of traffic, the other thing is floodplain and stormwater management. City of Franklin has always had the stance that we don't remove floodplain. They can adjust floodplain, but the storage has to remain the same, equal in, equal out. So we don't start pushing water on anybody else. And the City of Franklin, for the four decades I've been with it, has not varied whatsoever on floodplain. So if they adjust floodplain, it has to be equal in and out. And we normally ask the experts on floodplain, which is Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, Sewer PAC, that has the model for floodplains. They have the computer-generated model. We ask for them to review and analyze that they are meeting this equal in, equal out. The other thing was mentioned is stormwater discharge. Our requirements and MMSD requirements are some of the stiffest in the nation. We require that they do not discharge peak discharge greater than the two-year storm. So the 100-year storm has to be reduced down to what is two-year storm. In my opinion, that when this is done, and it is done now with all developments, too bad it wasn't done 15 years ago, that it just about eliminates stormwater problems. I know some people would like to see the Legend Creek dredged. I think because DNR, you'll never see Legend Creek dredged. So there won't be any way to improve drainage down upstream, because I don't believe that DNR is ever going to allow the streams to be dredged. Whether Myers does it or anybody else tries to do it, they're just dead on not allowing dredging the stream. So we can grow, and basically all the stormwater runs to the north. Legend Creek flows to the north, so we should be able to control it. Well, that's pretty much from the engineering standpoint.
Okay, and that's the engineering standpoint as far as objections. There are still objections to access to Putes Road at all. That also includes all of the objections that the planning staff has made, as well as the alderman for the district who did have his hand up. I'm going to just sort of open it up here a little bit, Alderman, and then I'll ask for a suspension of the rules to allow you to speak.
Just a follow-up question, Mr. Bennett's comments. If this were to proceed and there was no traffic signal at Highway 100 at Putes when this opens, would there be no opportunity to reconsider it until 2019, or could it be considered based on the actual traffic once the store was to go into operation?
I think what they're going to ask is that Meyer puts money out for the traffic signal, and I think any time it would meet warrants, they would allow the traffic signal. Their judgment is that, and when they reconstruct Highway 100, which is 2017 and 2019, that they feel that at that point they will have met warrants. But if it would meet warrants and there'd be congestion, it could be done with that.
Mr. Haley?
Another follow-up question, Mr. Engineer. Putes Road, as it's shown on the site plans, is proposed to be realigned. How does that fit into the big picture? If we move forward with this, the developer would be realigning Putes Road at this point in time. Does that intersection point match with DOT plans? If we, in 2019, go to put signals in, are we realigning Putes back to where it is? I'd like your perspective on that.
Now, we've discussed this with DOT. They would like to see, which is a little different than they've done on some other intersections, they would like to see this done ultimately when Myers develops. So it won't have to be redone when they redo Highway 100 in 2019 or 17 or 19, whatever it ends up. So now they're asking that the Myers plan be changed slightly to come in at absolute right angles instead of. And the other thing they told me yesterday is they're looking at to see if the intersection of Putes Road should be pushed to the east. So we don't have a decision right now from DOT, which to me makes it very difficult for the city to take action on this because we really don't know what the DOT is going to approve. And we've met with them. The mayor had the congressman, Jeff Stone, there at the meeting, and we had the director. So we're dealing with the top level and all of them, and we still haven't got an answer.
Is there any prospect that there might be an answer before the county council would act on this thing?
I would hope so.
Well, just for clarity, the meeting was with Dwayne Johnson, one of his top people, and Representative Stone. I did bump into Senator Wozniak earlier in the night. She offered any assistance that she could bring to the table regarding alleviating some of these problems as well. So Dwayne Johnson is pretty much responsible for the reconstruction of I-94, Sandling 27th Street, and all of Highway 100. I think he's got the new interchange. So this is not... it just so happens that because of my former life, I know some of these guys. So. But it's true.
I guess I would like to have the applicant's response to the adjacent property owner to the east. Would you be agreeable to cooperation in terms of the developing landscaping along that side of your property in cooperation with the development that they are proposing now on their property over the next couple of years? Have you thoughts on that? Would you have a response to that?
Yeah, it might be easier if you just come up to the front table. I think you said early on that you would be amenable to answering some of the questions.
Yes, and our comment to that is yes, we would be willing to sit down and work with them on the landscape. We've indicated to that to them as well. We believe that part of it is that they, because of our delay in getting them some of the plans, have not had a chance to review all of the information. We believe that basically through things that we have done to date, which includes the two-tiered retaining wall, which has landscaping on top of it, the 12 by 70-foot wall, that we've started to address those. The other thing is the trees that are existing in the floodway or floodplain as it is today, or the wetlands. Obviously, in the Crossroads plan, we're not going to be there. I think we've explained to them that they are going to be there now, but we have said we would sit down with them and talk a little bit more about the landscaping and how we can work together to make sure that we've addressed that. So,
let me just quickly read what you handed us. It's a public note. It says, Myers, Inc., trucking operations condition. Truck deliveries shall not be made to the store at any time between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. any day of the week, except that one truck delivery will be allowed at the store during the restricted hours, provided that the truck engine is turned off and the truck is not left idling. And Mr. Ritter, are you still with
me? And if I could, if you'd like me to, I'll expand upon his comments relative to the trucks, just so that there's no point of clarification or no point of contention. We're not suggesting that there are other trucks that are going to deliver during those hours. So the semi-truck comment is purely one of them reading it as semi-trucks. But we're saying there are no truck deliveries, be it, you know, the bread truck or any other truck during those hours, with the exception of the one semi-truck that we bring in. There's a very specific reason to that. We are a store that emphasizes a lot of fresh product. We bring that fresh product in based on the time it comes into our warehouse in Lansing to get it out to the store so that they can reset the store and be ready to open with fresh perishables in the morning. So we appreciate them working with us on that, and we've agreed to the hours that they had asked us to, even though traditionally, you know, what we had proposed was having our deliveries be able to start at 6 a.m. We agreed with them that we would move that back to 7 to help their cause.
Just for the record, the condition, I'll read from the current draft resolution, truck deliveries and refuse collection shall be prohibited between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. So for those of you who have expressed a concern about that, there is currently a condition in the draft resolution that addresses that matter. The difference here would seem to be they're requesting one delivery during those hours.
That's correct.
One delivery on, let's see, any day, also one day, one truck per or night, essentially that would be?
Yes, and again, it's very specific to our perishables business. We deliver fresh product to our store every day. That's one of the very high standards that we have for our store. And because of the way our distribution works and our trucks are coming all the way from Lansing, Michigan, that produce comes in and all those perishables come in at a certain point in time, and physically then they immediately load that on the truck and bring it to the store. So sometimes we have multiple trucks that would come during, you know, the overnight hours, but going back and talking with our folks in logistics, they said, look, we can figure out all the other trucks, but we've got to get the one truck in that really sets our perishables, our meats, our produce, and all that stuff in the morning so that we have that ready to go for the consumer.
Okay, I did finally find that screening wall. I was looking for it on a site plan, and it's not on a site plan. It's on the building elevation, which is why I was having trouble finding it. What I had really hoped for was something that would essentially go along the retaining wall there, the top of the retaining wall, on both the southeast and the northeast, so that there would be screening in that area. Right now, it seems like you're screening to the southeast reasonably well with the. And you said 70-foot wall, or I thought somebody said 70-foot wall. I thought it said 60-foot on the building elevation, but you know, we're talking 10 feet different. But it doesn't seem to me like it would screen, or perhaps you'd want to pull up those line of sight things to the northeast, so it would screen some of the property to the east, not screen the west of it. I suppose I could be a little more receptive to the one truck overnight if there was a screening wall that covered both the northeast and the southeast. I'm not proposing a trade-off here, but I say that I could. Is at this point I'm fairly comfortable with the condition as it's in the current draft, but if there was to be more and better screening, perhaps that one truck overnight might be a little more, you know, agreeable. So just one person's comment.
Mr. Micklin?
I guess what I want to address is what I feel is the importance of the big box ordinance, and maybe some people aren't entirely versed in what a big box big box ordinance can mean and what the extraordinary measure of removing the big box ordinance, what that could entail. What we're talking about here is 191,000 square feet. So to put that in perspective, you take the target we have right now on the pick and save right now and put that together, and you still don't have that. That's how big this is. And it's one floor, and it's a parking lot. So we've had discussions about this. I've showed the PowerPoint and everything, so you obviously know my position on this. One of the reasons that the big box ordinance is put in place, and this may not be a reason that people are aware of, it's not just traffic congestion, it's not just eyesores or the site, it's the fact that there is an economic ecosystem in each community, and there's market share. And market share for a building of this size is fairly enormous. And I did a little research, found out that they're going to have to make $70 million in annual revenues in order to make it worth their while. And I went further and found out that they have sales of $600 per square foot, which is twice the national average of a retail. That's really good. That's very good. But that has impact. And one of the reasons that I thought the big box ordinance was a good idea was it prevented that sort of impact. So if, let's say, the tax assessment is $174,000 to the school district, if you lose another $125,000 or another $180,000 because this storefront closes or that storefront closes as a result of this market share, that's something you have to take into account. It's an extraordinary measure. Now, if Meyer were to come in and say, here's our site plan, we've got three stories up front, we're going to build up to the street, we're going to make an amenity for the community, it's still going to be as the square footage that we've talked about. Now you've got something to consider. Now you've got something that causes a discussion. But right now, in my view, from a planning standpoint, I hate to get too far into the economic development thing, but we can get into that too. From a planning standpoint, I can't speak for everyone else up here, there really isn't that much of a question. The extraordinary measure of removing that cap that's put in place will prohibit certain kinds of development from occurring. And right now, the kind of development that is more valuable, more commercially viable in a post-recession world is a big anchor. And by big, I don't mean 191,000 square feet. I mean big, target big. With outbuildings with connectivity. Not like we did over at Shops at Wyndham Village. Something that people can use as an amenity, an attraction, a place they go, a place you drop your kids off, you come back and get them. They spend some money while they're there. So a guy named Joe Minicozzi did a study on this. And I'm planning to bring him in here at some point to have a talk about this. A big box annual tax yield per acre, and this is the way we have to look at things now, because the most valuable thing we have is land. You can't make more land. Once that opportunity at that corner is gone, that's gone. A big box will make you $8,300 tax yield annually per acre. That's a big box. If you build multi-use, which is in the Crossroads plan, and you build multi-story, a low rise, two stories, three stories. Now you're talking about $90,000 per square acre if you wait for that opportunity. And it doesn't have that danger of wiping out entire competing department stores. So I have no problems at all with Myers as a store at all. I've never been to one, but the people I've talked to have been to them, like them. I would love to be able to at 3 in the morning go and buy an action figure anytime I want. Do you sell? Or an air freshener or anything like that. But from a planning standpoint, to put this there and to take the extraordinary measures that would have to be put in place to do that, I just can't see having that happen.
Okay. Does Fowler do anything? Just to address a couple of issues that I have some concern, and I've discussed some of this with the city engineer this morning at the sewage district.
The concern I have is Lion Legend Creek and the Root River is going to be remodeled by the Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission. We just finished modeling the Kinnickinnick River in downtown Milwaukee. We did that in 2004 and 2005.
Maybe you should explain what your job is.
Well, my job, I work for the Milwaukee Sewage District. I am the water course manager for the Sewage District, and I'm a certified floodplain manager. So SewerPAC is the only one with experts, even though they're a lot smarter than I am. But the issue that I have is they are going to be remodeling. We remodeled the KK River in 2005, and they came along in 2008, and the flows went up by 13% in the KK River. And that's a fully developed watershed, so it wasn't because of land use development. It's basically because of the different rainfall patterns that we've been experiencing. I think everybody here can understand that we've had some really unusual rainfall patterns in the last 10 years. So Lion's Legend Creek, even though it was recently done, I believe, 2004, I think it was around 2004 that they did some of the modeling on Lion Legend Creek. I would anticipate that Lion Legend Creek is going to see those same kind of flow increases. So even though, and I agree with Jack, the sewer pack needs a chance to evaluate whether the storage trade-offs that have this floodplain loss and floodplain gain, we need to do that. I would also like to see them have an opportunity to talk about what they think would be the increase in flows, because we don't want to have Meyer go in there and then have them get flooded because of increased flows that would occur on Lion Legends Creek, or that any of the impacts that they might have on Lion Legends Creek would be transferred downstream to downstream property owners. So I agree with Jack. I'd like to see those floodplain ideas be broached with them. I also would like to agree with Commissioner Micklick that it would have been, we have talked about how to have connectivity in this community. I'm also the chair of the Trails Committee for the City of Franklin. We'd like to see this kind of connectivity. And I have concerns. I grew up in Michigan as well, and I love Meijer. Meijer's a great store. I have bought a lot of action figures, both for myself and other people. it is a good store, and I'm sorry to hear that one of the stores was not kept up to the standards that I have found in and around the Ann Arbor. But the concept of connectivity, I think, is really critical. And what I do not like seen and happened in my communities in and around Ann Arbor and the outlying communities I don't want to see happen in Franklin as you build this large asphalt jungle. I call it an asphalt jungle because it's full of cars and people who are pedestrians who try to reach it without a car, which I think we need to think about people that aren't going to be able to drive and other people that don't have the complete senior citizens trying to get to this facility. You want to try to reduce or make that big black span of asphalt more friendly to people walking to it, even people that park their cars walk a long distance. I think going to Southridge at Christmas time on the park way out and walking across will be a real adventure sometimes. So I would like to agree with Commissioner Micklick that it's unfortunate that concept might not have had a fair airing when they were making this design. I think that, and I'm staring at the big white panel on the back wall, I don't know if any of the people can see it, the 70-30 goal we have for this community. So I'm reluctant to couch this criticism too harshly because I also feel that this building is long overdue in the school district of Franklin. We too long have been sending our property tax dollars to Oak Creek and Whitnall, which is where the bulk of our business is. I harp on this all the time. And so I relish the opportunity to have this go in this area, and I apologize to the residents who have to deal with that. I deal with the Orchard Lake Mall because I live in the Southview Estates area, but it's not had the negative impacts that I think might have probably been envisioned when that went in. So to wrap up, I like the idea of this development. I just wish it had more of that connectivity that we had talked about.
Mr. Ritter?
Well, and I'll address a couple of those comments. By information that I got from the assessor's office, the Target store and the Pick and Save combined are $186,850 square feet. This is supposed to be a little more than 191,000 square feet. So you're talking about a 4,000 square foot difference. My guess is most people in a store that size are not going to find that 4,000 square foot difference. So basically what you're thinking about is the Target and Pick and Save that are already there. We have the Wyndham Village done by a local developer who's been very successful. The Target, as far as I know, has been successful. We've had some turnover there, and Pick and Save came in and replaced Sendix. What has struggled are the other stores. There are buildings that have not been built. There is space that has not been rented. So there are opportunities
for those boutique shops to the extent that there's market for them. There's more opportunity available than the market has been able to support thus far. That's why I'm reluctant to hang on too much to that Crossroads plan. Yes, it is what some people would like, but the reality is, over the course of my lifetime, the trend has been for stores to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The leading retailers have changed. It's not Sears and Roebuck anymore. First, Kmart came in, and then Target, and then others. But the trend has been for bigger and bigger and bigger stores. That is not to everyone's liking, but it meets the needs of the vast majority of people to be able to go one place and meet a lot of their shopping needs. This is an organization that has a proven success record of doing that. As I say, I'm reluctant to stick with the Crossroads trade plan, not because it isn't stylistically nice, simply because we already have another center sort of built on that model, and the parts of it that people claim to like have been the parts that have struggled. Now, with regard to the connectivity, I will point to condition G2, which says applicants shall construct a sidewalk along the north side of West Buttes Road along the entire length of their property prior to certificate of occupancy. The adjacent property owners also agreed to construct a sidewalk on their property, so there will be sidewalk connections. Comment was made earlier about how we ought to move towards getting more, completing the pieces along Loomis Road. So there are opportunities to provide connectivity. So those things have been taken into consideration. And certainly as a community, we ought to work more on that whole Highway 100 and Loomis area as that continues to develop, because I believe this will bring in even more development that will create more opportunities, and we can improve connectivity as that occurs. So I share the concerns, but I think, I guess my view of the reality of the current economic environment and the opportunities that this may bring are things that we should welcome and support.
Mr. Micklin?
I have no doubt that Myers would succeed there. That's not my, that's not the difficulty I'm having with it. The difficulty I'm having with it is twofold. Number one is the most natural thing to think is when we're moving earth and we're building structures, that's a good thing. And for the first couple of months, a couple of years, it's a great thing to see anything new that's out there. But then when you look at, it's a counterintuitive thought, but when you look at the actual data around big boxes, which I did, it turns out that there are large negative effects on the other retailers, other big boxes, within a 5-mile radius. Now, that won't be you because you did your homework and you used the logarithm and you figured out the traffic pattern there and everything. However, I heard this phrase 3 times at 2 different meetings. You addressed an intersection of 2 state highways. And my hope is that developers come in and address the city of Franklin or address the neighborhood around the street names. 2 state highways is not where these people live. They live on Buttes. They live in Franklin. They live in this neighborhood. They want to be able to, for instance, when Sendix went in, what we learned from Sendix was the initial thought from the neighborhood behind there was, we got to put a berm up. We got to block this off. We're afraid that people are going to, buy some brie and then run wild through our neighborhood. And what they found out once Sendix was put in, and the developer had that foreknowledge and therefore put the loading dock behind and everything like that. So everything facing that neighborhood is loading dock, retaining wall, retaining pool. Now they come to us and they say, we'd really like to have a path so we could walk to Sendix. And now we're working on sidewalks to get there. But imagine if Sendix would have been treated from the beginning as an amenity, where if you live in that neighborhood, you may hear some trucks now and then, and you may get some traffic out in the corner that you wouldn't normally get. But you also have a deck on the back where you get up and you have a Danish on a Saturday morning with the neighbors and you walk back. Now, not every neighborhood is able to do that because they can't necessarily walk through, but you're putting up with the trucks, so you get that to work with. What's on this site plan, and I apologize for the fact that I'm talking about a site plan that's so far along. I saw it on July 5th, right? July 5th. The thought at the Crossroads plan, and we've talked about this at other meetings, was to create this village feel. And there was input from the community. The community wanted that. They wanted to be able to park or not park, just go somewhere and spend some time somewhere, rather than go to a giant place that kind of inhales you, and you get what you need, and then you're exhaled out. So there is, from an observational standpoint, people may think stores are getting bigger, and the desire is for these bigger stores. But the data is saying, and the data I have is from a study from the Journal of Urban Economics, and then the American Planning Association, which says the trends in retailing may prompt a complete de-evolution of the big box into smaller, specialized Main Street retail shops. And one of the reasons for that is you guys do a very good job selecting your sites. You will not fail. But will the other big boxes, what will happen to them? What do we do with that big building? That's what they're finding here, and that's my concern. Now, if you came in and said, here's our site plan, and like I said, we've got 2-3 stories here. We're going to try to promote these outbuildings because we have connectivity, unlike we have at the shops at Wyndham Village. They're really not connected. They're just out there. That's a different issue altogether. But as it is now, it would be a successful big box. But I fear for the economic health around that box.
Mr. Haley, you speak in. Mr. Fowler.
Just to respond to Commissioner Ritter, I agree the sidewalks along Buttes are what we're asking for, but if you look at the size of the parking lot, what I'm concerned about is if people are trying to get to that store from the senior citizen area or other places, if the trail is going to connect, that they still are coming from near Buttes or along Loomis, they still have to cross the parking lot. My concern is not the connectivity to our other business, which I think is an excellent idea. It's actually just getting people into the store itself. And also, when you look at the floodplain, the things that I'm concerned about, can I leave the microphone for a second?
Do you have a laser pointer?
Ah, if you do.
Thank you.
I want to wind it. What I'm concerned about here is the flow of the Pleasants Creek is this way. We might possibly be creating a choke point here. If I understand, this is going to be one of the fill areas here for the floodplain. And then there's going to be storage, compensatory storage. Will be up in this area. My concern is this area right here could become a possible choke point in the floodplain. But it might. If you guys have addressed that, it's just when I'm looking at those plans, it's going to be that concern. And again, it's the sidewalks here and here. But I believe the senior citizen development is in this area, and for them to be able to just walk to the facility would be enhanced if there was a trail system. I did not see. Maybe it's just my lack of my bad eyesight. Did not see a trail system of any type that kind of connected down this way. I saw this system, but nothing that would allow them to come through this way. Maybe that's because of concerns. So those are just my concerns.
I think I'm going to ask that or take a break for about 10 minutes. Everybody's been here for about 2 hours. Yes, Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm climbing out of my skin here. This is a public hearing. You heard from probably 15 people. To stand here and sit here after Mr. Bennett gave his presentation and talk about trails is absurd. The DOT just screwed every one of these people in this room by taking that access and making it primary access. That's wrong, Mr. Mayor, and I'm curious as to why you chose not to have the alderman of the district at a meeting that discussed that very issue. There's not a single person that was at that meeting except Mr. Bennett that ever stood at that corner and watched the traffic of those people. There's four families in here that got people, because of the DOT, turning around in their driveways. And we're sitting here saying we need trails? Bullshit! We need the DOT to put that right in, right out, and limit access to Buttes Road, and put that traffic light in now. There's history for that. But nobody cares. We want to talk about trails. Screw the trails, put the light in, fix the road. Come on, Plan Commission.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, if you have another meeting with the DOT, I'm there.
I understand, Alderman. It'll take a 10-minute...
See this, guys? That's your mayor.
Alderman, the meeting was set up with Dwayne Johnson. There was no intentions whatsoever not to include you.
Except that I didn't get an invitation.
I'm going to take a 10-minute break till 5 after 9. I'm
I usually have one, but I can't find it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you might want to point that out.
Yes.
Come back to order. All right. I guess I would probably need to respond to Alderman Olson, and that would be, I believe the meeting that he's talking about with the DOT actually was set up not by me, but it was set up through the good graces and hard work of State Representative Jeff Stone. Nonetheless, the alderman should be there. Good news, Alderman Olson, is that Mr. Bennett started off the conversation by saying that no decision has been reached and that the DOT has not come back with any findings. So in essence, no harm has been done, and when, in fact, they do come back, you will be at that meeting. Now, if you did not want us to try and help the people in this area to take care of the traffic off of Highway 100 and to try and keep traffic off of Putes Road, then we should not have asked the state representative and the regional director of DOT to get involved. We thought we were trying to help the people. Now, I would totally agree with you in that there are some major concerns that have been raised by the people that have come to the last two public hearings. One of them is the drop-dead issue, the 24 hours that you've talked about since the first day. You've also talked about getting pedestrian access for the people. That has, we've talked about a sidewalk on the north side, but I think trying to make Putes Road a little bit more safe is certainly in the order of things. Is that the job of Meyer, or is that the job of City Hall? Perhaps both. But Putes Road, from my understanding, has been in that condition for many, many years. It's also my understanding, maybe I'm totally wrong, that there had been some plans in the past for surveys taken to widen the road to make it safer, but they were rejected. So the people that lived along Putes, the property owners, if I'm correct, those property owners rejected widening the road, probably because they didn't want to miss the rural setting of the community, the wetlands, etc. No one can blame them. But I've driven that road several times, especially since the some children were hurt on that road. And as far as I'm concerned, it does need to be widened, but we're going to have to go back to the people because that's the way we do things in Franklin. We are a long ways from, I would say, reaching consensus on this issue. There are issues with trucking that have been brought up. Mr. McMurty, is that the correct? United Financial, which represents an $18 million investment with hundreds and hundreds of seniors who live there, have major concerns. Some of those have been addressed with this tonight. We really haven't dealt, the commissioners have not dealt with the 24-hour issue that the people have brought up. We have not confronted Meyer as to whether they are willing to amend the 24-hour period, look at a pilot project. And then there's I think the access into the site, instead of going through Putes Road and the information that Jack Bennett talked about, as far as I'm concerned, that's one of the major issues here for alleviating traffic to Putes, and more importantly, for not having the traffic back up at Highway 36 and Highway 100, which, of course, is going to happen if this project comes to fruition. So with that, I'm going to return to the regular order of business. And before I do that, for the people that rarely come to these types of hearings, the people that are sitting, Mr. Miglig, Mr. Ritter, Mr. Haley, Mr. Fowler, these are all citizen members. They get no pay for sitting up here. You've heard Mr. Fowler is one of the top managers for MMSD, so if there's anybody that knows about wetlands and floodplains, Dave's the guy. The next person that really is a expert in wetlands and landscaping and architecture, etc., is Mr. Kevin Haley, who is the landscape architect for the Milwaukee County Parks. Whenever you go into the parks and you see something that's awe-inspiring, Kevin probably designed it. That's serious. He's very humble, but that's who he is. Mr. Ritter, and these are all my appointments. The reason I've asked these people on to sit on here is because of their expertise. Mr. Ritter has sat on the Plan Commission for how many years? 20 years?
19 going up.
20 years. I have Mr. Ritter on here because Mr. Ritter makes sure that we follow the ordinances of the city to the T. He keeps us on the straight and narrow all the time. I've asked Mr. Miglig to be on here because I believe Mr. Miglig has great ideas regarding architecture and marketing, and he actually has a website that he talks about proper architecture. I think it's pretty clear that Mr. Miglig is not necessarily 1,000% in favor of this proposal. I like having Mr. Miglig here because he does bring a whole different viewpoint to the Plan Commission. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Haley, who I see has, Mr. Olson, he has in the column about 400 different remarks that he wants to see addressed. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to keep it simple and straight. I guess first I want to thank you folks from Myers for bringing this proposal to us. I think it's a great opportunity. And very importantly, especially given what the mayor just said, you citizens of Franklin, for showing up, educating yourselves, getting involved, and being willing to stand in front of a microphone and speak your mind. It's all an important part of making government work. That said, I do have a lot of thoughts about this proposal. I think that it can bring very many good things to Franklin, that there's a lot of positives, and we're hearing those from Meyer themselves and from you citizens. We just have to capitalize on those advantages. What's before us tonight, this commission, and we're advisory to the Common Council, we're being asked to take action on 6 different items related to this specific proposal. They're very complicated, the one leads into the other, but it's a big picture, and it's a big decision that we'll all have to vote or take some action on in the very near future so that the Common Council and these people can move forward or do what it is they must. Problem I've got with it is there's way too many things that aren't pinned down, too many intangibles, too many conditions that we're asking for at this point in time. I'd like to see resolution to these. There's a lot of questions that have been brought up. There's a lot of very technical issues that haven't been resolved, and yet we're being asked to go ahead and make a decision based upon that. I'll speak quite frankly, I personally have serious concerns about the site plan itself. Not the magnitude of the development, I believe that these things can be resolved, but the approach, and I'm sure that there are many alternatives looked at, I don't believe it's in the best interest of this area or Franklin as it's currently designed. There's a lot of really nice features about it, decent architecture, your attempts to do some fairly unique things with stormwater management to deal with the environment and the wetland issues. These are all great things. But I think, and I'm sharing a lot of Mr. Miglig's issues about the building placement, how it relates to the site. I've gone through the plans in great detail, and I can't help but look at it and think about how wonderful that back area could be if, instead of being a building, it was an open green space with a walkway that relates to the natural resource features that are there, preserved and enhanced, and a building much more out to the street relating to the urban scale. Again, my thoughts and my preferences, and I'd like to think that there's a compromise, that there's a way to make this all work. The problem that's in front of me right now is too many unknowns. I'm being asked to make a decision on things that I think can be addressed and tweaked. There's a great opportunity here. You seem to be great corporate citizens. This is your flagship venture into Wisconsin. Again, we're glad you're bringing it here to Franklin. Put your best foot forward. It's a pioneer site. You can be the catalyst for a lot of good things, for a whole bunch more developments in Wisconsin. But I would challenge you to show us your best side. Bring it forward. Work with us to address the issues, the technical engineering issues, the site planning issues, and come up with a solution that we'll never get 100% consensus on. But when I see 60-40, 50-50 division on this, it means we've got a long ways to go in terms of bringing this together and turning it into the quality project it could be, and I know you'd like to make it. That's what we want for Franklin. I could go on and on about many issues. Again, some good, some that are unaddressed. I think that there are some very significant issues that need to be resolved before we can be asked to take action on it. In essence, we're being asked to make a recommendation on reshaping lands, the use, how it gets done, and many of these things are beyond our control. We're being asked to make a decision before we really have the information to evaluate it. Wetland environmental issues, like them or not, the fact is those are regulated by the federal government and the state. You've had contact with DNR. There's a process. Franklin protects these resources. There's a methodology for impacting and mitigating them. But we don't know what those answers are. You have talked to, I don't know what the results of the discussions are, but ultimately, any impacts to those natural areas, to the wetlands in particular, will be determined by state and federal government, not anybody in this room. If those permissions are given, then there are means to mitigate them. One of the other things we're being asked to do is to approve a special exception to Franklin's fairly stringent natural resource protection issues. There's a reason that a special exception process exists, and that's so that we can make the best out of what sometimes is an inevitable impact. I don't think that the solutions, albeit some are creative, certainly wetland mitigation banking, it's legal, it all works. It doesn't do anything for Franklin. I think there's a lot more meaningful things that can be done. Part of my personal issues are, by putting the building where it is, you're foregoing the opportunity to step to site, to work with the existing topography, to minimize the amount of fill that's required on the site, all very technical things. I guess all I can say is, as much as I would really love to support this and say, let's go and start digging, we've got some work to do before this can be made to move forward. And I think a lot of questions need to be answered and resolved, some of which are out of our hands. So I think giving this some time, and forgive me, 80 days is a long time to wait, but there are some significant issues. We need to get the state and federal government to weigh in. We need a final word out of DOT. We need you to react to those things so that we can then, in turn, modify the site plan. I can't in any good conscience make any kind of recommendation about this. We're being asked to make a recommendation with 5 to 10 contingencies, things that might happen. And any one of those things could cause the site plan to change the relationship with the streets. How can I react to that at this point in time? So I'll get off the soapbox. Work with us, please. I think that there's a way to make everybody and most everybody happy, bring something very positive to Franklin. I don't believe this site plan is it. I think whether we change that, whether I'm right or wrong, doesn't really matter. But we need to address the specific issues that are out there, come up with definitive answers about what we can and can't do, and then I'll be glad to vote on it.
Okay. I guess from what I'm hearing from the plan commissioners, at least I don't hear that there's a majority vote in favor of the plan, just based on what Mr. Haley said. He's got some grave concerns, but you're a little bit old, and you're kind of here, happy to hear that. And that Mr. Micklegg also has some grave concerns with the project as proposed. It's kind of a departure, from what I understand. Mr. Micklegg is saying it's a kind of a radical departure from the crossroads plan. It's also may not be the best and highest value for the property we have. That once you have valuable property and you let it go, that's it, and there's no other day for it. Mr. Bennett has raised that we have not heard back from the DOT. No final decision has been made on that. I thought Mr. Fowler is saying, yes, I understand I have some concerns with this, but the number one goal of the city is the 70-30, and we need tax relief in the Franklin School District. Mr. Ritter had some concerns. I didn't hear that they were paramount to a denial of the project, but definitely you want the Meyer people to take into consideration the recommendations from the aldermen, from the people, 24-hour limit, and from the staff of the city. So that it pretty well.
Yeah, actually, I'll address that a little bit. There is just for the record, for the, first of all, I will echo the comments of other commissioners. Thank you very much for all of you who came out, whether you spoke or not, just to be here. I've been, as said, I've been up here for many years. What's been remarkable to me about this is it's not all that unusual for people to come out to be opposed to something. It is a little bit unusual for people to come out and be supportive of it. That's been a little bit of a surprise to me. It's not a, you know, this makes it a lose-lose situation, frankly. For those of you who think we shouldn't do this, if you vote yes, then you voted badly. For those of you who think we shouldn't do this, if we voted no, then, you know, I mean, so somebody's going to be unhappy about this no matter how we vote. That's the problem you have when you have a mix of different views. But thank you all for coming out and expressing your views, raising your issues and your concerns. I will note, we're a city of over 35,000 people now. And although we've held multiple hearings about this, none of them have managed to fill up the Common Council chambers. Now that tells me just how far are you willing to go to hold up a significant addition, a needed addition to the local tax base, when there's not, I do not for a moment doubt the sincerity or the concerns of the people who have raised concerns or spoken against it, but this is a big city and we need, at least at the Plan Commission, I understand all of them represent individual districts, they want to be advocates for the people of their districts. The Plan Commission, we look at things from a whole city point of view, and this is something that is going to bring some good for the whole city. I would certainly agree, perhaps this isn't the best plan. I have no objection to laying this over for their, for things to come clear a little bit and for the applicant to work with the adjacent property owner to move a little farther down the road as to how they might work together for their own mutual interests. So if that's the decision of the Plan Commission to allow a little more time for this to develop, I have no objection to that. I do think in the long term it's in the best interest of the city and the overwhelming majority of the people in the city to find some way to get this to work and bring this to the city, but that doesn't mean that the best can't be made even a little bit better than what we have now.
Mr. Fowler and then Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, and I'd just like to reiterate what Randy's saying, and I feel the same way, and I agree with Kevin, that Commissioner Haley, that there are some unresolved issues, but I do think this is eventually will be a good fit for the city of Franklin, but I think it does need some work and some tweaking, but I could support it if it had some of those things cleaned up.
And Ms. Bennett?
And I think from an engineering standpoint, we have to know what we're going to receive from DOT. We don't have the control to say that we're going to have access to Lewis Road, access to, and where that access is going to be. We don't have control to say we're going to have access, whether it can be in and out access. You know, it can't be left turn because there's no median on it. And the DOT is insisting that we have access to Lewis Road, which, very frank with you, is pretty consistent with all developments they have. They prefer to have traffic coming onto an existing local street to go onto an arterial street and directly onto an arterial street. So this isn't terribly unusual of DOT to require access to a feeder street. But I just think it would be wrong for us to take action until we know what DOT is going to allow. Because very frank with you, if they don't allow it, we don't do it.
Yeah, I want to ask Meyer, because it seems to me that there was some article in the paper that you have, there's 19 other locations in the state that you're looking at. I think the day that we met, you had already met with Grafton regarding another site. We did ask you to come in front of the concept review for the committee of the whole so that you could get a feel from the elected representatives of the city as to whether you should proceed and spend the money and do all of the due diligence and all of that. I also wanted to ask you, how immediate is your need to put a shovel in the ground? And I mean, from what I'm hearing from the Land Commission, they're willing to take a motion right now to table this until at least the DOT comes back with an answer and until some of the issues from the Plant Commissioners are addressed. Is this something that's going to kill the project? I think the Plant Commissioners and the public needs to understand that.
And let me answer it this way, and I'd like to address just about three brief items. The first is, certainly we respect the process and we acknowledge that it's not our decision to make, and the Plan Commission may make that motion, and appreciate the invitation to weigh in. Obviously, it is in our, we wish to move forward and we wish to have this project advance through the process, but we acknowledge that those answers need to be given. And some of the things we've heard tonight, the DOT meeting, we were not invited to, we were not in attendance at either, and we will certainly do our part to fight for our plan, which we believe is a good one and shows those access points. And we have an excellent traffic consultant. Meyer has hired me to be part of the liaison, and we have other consultants that can certainly weigh in and work with DOT. So I think that's a fair point, and it was news to us, and we appreciate Mr. Bennett doing what he can and conveying that message. But certainly we're going to fight for what our site plan is and try and bring the best plan that we can, because we know our site plan, only 5% of our traffic goes out Putes Road, as that's shown. But you're right, if they close the Loomis Road access point, or I'm sorry, St. Martin's Road access point, that would necessarily bump up 5%. So we're going to certainly fight for our access point, deal with DOT. On the DNR issues, since July 2nd, our permit application has been in. As Dave Behrens explained, we've met with DNR prior to that. We're under an acre of wetlands impacts, and we certainly did our homework prior to that. We engaged with DNR prior to that, and there's a reason why we were able to shift our building, or we found a way to do it, to come from 1.5 acres of impacts to less than an acre. We believe that was viewed very favorably by DNR, but indeed, the permit process is a lengthy one, and it's been on file since July 2nd. But that issue, we're asking for a conditional review, because I think Mr. Haley said it right. The Army Corps and the DNR control that, and even if the city thinks this is the greatest plan, that permit needs to be issued before we can build it. And frankly, that's what happened with the last plan that I understand was approved for this site. It broke down at the DNR permitting stage. So even though the city may have approved a site plan, that could not go forward. Back to our plan, though, we are optimistic that the DNR will issue the permit. We believe we've met their concerns, and we have a good plan for mitigation in that regard. So given that we can't make the decision for you or change your decision, we certainly respect the need to perhaps table it tonight. What I would suggest or request, though, is that many of these issues that you're looking for answers for are really related to our site plan. And staff has actually recommended the approval of three of our particular applications, and I believe Mr. Fuchs identified those. Those would be the amendment to Plan Development District Number 31, which is actually related to United Financial's property that they no longer own. It's kind of a housekeeping cleanup. Staff also recommends the approval of the certified survey map, which would consolidate our 8 parcels into one parcel, which would enhance the ability for future development no matter what. And finally, staff does recommend the Unified Development Ordinance text amendment, which is related to the big box. And so given that there's staff recommendation for that, and we believe grounds independent of the Meyer proposal to go forward, what we would certainly respectfully request is that the Plan Commission hold the site plan related issues and allow us to provide those answers, but perhaps put these other, say, less controversial issues or beneficial issues forward to the Common Council. And on the big box ordinance, if I may speak for 1 second on that, the amendment that's before you that is proposed, and again that staff recommends, is a very narrow one. All it does is eliminate the restriction on big box to planned development districts. That still gives the city, and it begins with the Plan Commission as well as in the Common Council, the control before it ever authorizes something as a big box as a planned development. So all the other zoning districts, it's a prohibited use. It's only in a planned development where you will, as you do with everyone, look at the site specifics, look at the user specifics, and decide whether planned development would be appropriate. So you're not releasing your authority, and the city itself is not, for a future big box. There may never be a big box in the city, even though the plan development district would allow such a big box. And I think that's why, and I would let staff speak to it if you have further questions, but that's why staff is actually recommending that, because it's a very narrow amendment. And so if I could ask the commission forward those on to the common council, all those public hearings have been held, but we certainly respect if we can come back at the next plan commission meeting and hopefully have these updates and give us the ability to work with DOT and obtain these answers as well.
Okay. I think I understand much of what you said. There is a lot here. There's a lot. And I think what you're saying is you'd like to hear on the minor issues back from the common council. If the council is willing to, well, first of all, is the plan commission willing to recommend approval to the common council? And then second, you want to hear back from the council, are they still interested in pursuing this plan? Because I'm sure, Mr. Randall, you're not sitting here for free, right?
That's correct, Mr.
There has been a huge push on the behalf of the elected officials of the city to try and make Franklin more business-friendly. A large part of that had to do with the economy falling off the cliff some couple of years ago. We have still not seen any type of development efforts for single-family homes, whereas it was a couple of years ago, we were literally having to put our hands out to try and stop the amount of development coming into the city. So I think that's reasonable. I'm going to ask for the assistance of the city attorney regarding those types of motions that would be de minimis in nature in comparison to the larger issues. I do think, you know, just listening, having sat up here for, was it 8 years as the chairman, that the concerns that are being expressed by some of the commissioners are very grave and really need to be rectified if you're going to secure their recommendation to the Common Council. So I thought Mr. Haley's had the toughest and probably the most difficult for you to tackle. That's what I heard. Although Mr. Micklig, from what I'm hearing, is not basically interested in this at all.
I understand. And Mr. Haley's been the toughest to reach since he lost his cell phone, as I understand. Oh, okay.
Mr. Fuchs?
Just so the Plan Commission is aware, the Unified Development Ordinance does outline some time frames for applications, and the applicant or the city would have to request the applicant to extend those time frames for any items that were to be tabled.
I guess I make one more comment before we take up the de minimis issues, and that's that I just want to say that Alderman Olson, I have to say I was somewhat taken back, but this has been an extremely controversial part of the city for a long period of time, and so I can understand some of the frustration if you thought you were not included in the meetings. My apologies. Mr. Bennett.
I guess I can understand there's been a lot of money spent on this project, and probably going to be a lot more if we go ahead with it. I think in the best interest of the city, combining all these parcels into one parcel is good for the city, and we could approve the certified, recommend approval of the certified survey map, subject to a development agreement and a letter of credit, and surely they aren't going to proceed with the development agreement letter of credit until they get the site plan and all the other little things answered. And I guess one of the big issues that it really is worth wasting our time and their time if they're not going to bury the 125,000 square feet. So I think we could forward that on to the council.
What was the third?
The Plan Development District 31 amendment.
Yeah, well, that's basically the 125,000.
No, carving off.
Oh, carving off. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Item 2 and item 6.
Yeah. I don't see a problem with that.
City Attorney.
only concern I had was with regard to the certified survey map approval. Obviously, the certified survey map itself would show the access points. Not correct, I understood that from staff. And so it's showing access points which have not been approved by Department of Transportation. That was one of the list of the maybe conditions for tonight. There is an attempt at one by staff at number 7 in that resolution, but it simply says that applicant has to obtain all the approvals. It doesn't say that they have to be consistent with and right in on Highway 100. So that's the concern with the CSM. With regard to the other two, just so everybody understands, first one is the amendment to PDD 31. That's Forest Hill Highlands. That simply removes approximately 15 acres to allow it to be used in combination with other properties to the west for future development. So it's a freestanding action if the Plan Commission is so inclined, and it can be done without any relation to this project. The same is true for the Unified Development Ordinance text amendment to delete from the 125,000 square foot ordinance the application of that limit, size limit, to plan development district ordinances. And the rationale is each plan development district ordinance stands on its own and is subject to the broad discretionary zoning authority of the city and ultimately the common council. So that's a standalone, but I do have that one concern about CSM.
If we could speak to that, in our opinion, if the Plan Commission were to recommend that going forward, that and it shows the access that we are seeking and that DOT has not yet approved, we believe that could be one further step signaling to DOT and help in those negotiations the importance of that access, that the city has already approved the CSM showing that as part of its site plan. And certainly no one's from DOT here tonight to hear how we might negotiate that. And if the council were to take that recommendation and approve it, I'd let Alderman Olson articulate that as the strategy. But in our mind, it would show the DOT that that access point is important from the city's standpoint, and it would help in our efforts as well.
Yeah, I guess it's now going 20 to 10. We still have Wheaton Franciscan. We have a number of other people that are waiting. I know that you've waited patiently, and the people have too. I'd like to get down to brass tacks, and let's get some motions on the table, and let's vote it up or down. Quite frank, given that this did go through the conceptual review with the Common Council, and there was thumbs up if you do everything correct, I'm almost inclined to recommend to the Plan Commission, just because I think that any business coming into the city is deserving of some answers, if we're going to streamline the business process, as to whether the plan commissioners are going to, in essence, recommend that the city move forward with the Meyer plans. Now, that would be because you have been to two public hearings, you've had neighborhood meetings. You said right from the get-go that you had other sites, that you were only interested in this particular site, no other. And so I'm very sensitive to not mistreating good businesses when they come forward and want to do business in our city. So, Mr. City Attorney.
Only the condition in number 7 in the CSM resolution can simply, well, currently says subject to DOT approval, but it can say... as shown on the certified survey map, period. Add that, then that map has to be approved, per what Attorney Randall said. And I do have motions.
Okay. Which one?
Well, the first one would be with regard to PDD 31.
Number 3?
Right here.
That's because I can't see it because I have my glasses. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 15-3.0436 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 31, paren Forest Hill Highlands / United Financial Group Inc. Paren to allow for removal of a parcel of land for its potential use and adjoining property development.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Next recommended motion is number three. A motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text at Chapter 15-3.0505A.2 to remove a PDD district from the retail building size limit provisions. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Four ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Bennett.
You know, on hindsight, I think maybe we better to hold the certified survey map because it does show the Fuchs Road alignment, which I think we've got to make a decision on. And the state is not satisfied with that alignment. They want that alignment, as I mentioned before, at right angles, and we'd have to do this all over again. So I think maybe the best thing is to just do the other two, show the. Find out from the council whether they want to proceed with the large box and hold the certified survey map off because it's so dependent upon the site plan. You can't really have a certified survey map without the site plan. They just go so hand in hand. So I would think it might be better to hold that one off.
Okay. Are you asking that? Let me ask the city attorney. Are there any time restrictions, regulations we need to concern ourselves with the rest of these motions?
Mr. Foote says has those lines on.
Okay. All right, let's. Do you have another motion that can be made that's de minimis in nature? Item 6, motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a one-lot certified survey map being part of the southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, and that part of the west half of the southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, and being all that part of the south one half of the east one half of the southeast one quarter of Section 17, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, in the city of Franklin, County of Milwaukee, State of Wisconsin. Is there a motion to that effect?
Bennett's comments because it does seem to show the Fuchs Road alignment, which is likely to change. So unless it can be done subject to technical corrections or whatever the magic phrase would be, I would, I guess, concur with Commissioner Bennett that we hold off on this one until certain things.
Okay, Mr. City Attorney, I did ask City Attorney if there was another one for that was the de minimis code.
Well, I raised that concern earlier, but the applicant said they understood that, and they're requesting an approval for this map as is, and that's what Condition 7 would now say with a change saying it, the approval is required for what's on this map. So if the Department of Transportation does not permit whatever is shown on the current map, the approval condition is not met, and it's not approved. So under those circumstances, if I'm an applicant, I would think twice because I might have to refile as opposed to change a map. But I think just the way they're nodding their heads at the front table, that they're still asking for that type of approval.
Well, it doesn't appear that the plan commissioners want to give that. So does there need a motion to table it or just to leave it in extension?
Mayor, I would ask Attorney Randall whether or not on behalf of the developer that any specific time limits which might be accruing in the interim until a tabling of this matter, I'm going to suggest until the next regular plan commission meeting, whether or not they waive the accrual of any time limit there.
Mr. Randall.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We would, on the items that the commission is considering tabling, and we are fine at this point with that, including the certified survey map request and application, we would ask that it be held open for 30 days or less. I don't know if that's the next plan commission or two commissions, but we would ask 30 days approximately.
All right. We have taken up two motions. Is there another section that you see and that we would agree with is de minimis that you are suggesting?
No, my initial request was based on what the staff recommendations were, and the staff recommended the three I outlined, including the certified survey maps, but that was without the benefit of tonight's discussion. So we are satisfied with the two motions the commission has made to recommend, and we're fine with the other four then being tabled for not more than 30 days.
City Attorney, do we actually need to take a motion to table, or is it good enough that we take no action?
Mr. Mayor, I'd suggest the commission entertain a motion to put over the four items, not including the two items that have been acted on until the next regular plan commission meeting, which staff will tell you that.
August 9th.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. I believe that was five ayes, so no. Motion carries. I do have another question, Mr. City Attorney. I believe there's going to be a continuance of the public hearing at the Common Council. I believe that we did not take action and we did not close the public hearing at the Common Council.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, that might have been the third council meeting in this 22 because my young was out of time.
Well, here's my question. The Plan Commission, like other commissions in the city, is an advisory commission. Is the Common Council prohibited from moving approval or to take into consideration or accept the recommendations of the Plan Commission?
Well, in that particular case, comprehensive master plan resolution is not acted by the Plan Commission. Statute requires a majority vote of the Plan Commission prior to adopting the ordinance to change the plan, so the council would not act on it.
All right. So that's very clear. Clear to the applicant as well.
Mr. Mayor, in making the request I did, we would only be asking and expecting the council to take up the two recommendations approved this evening, the Plan Development District 31 amendment and the UDO text amendment. So that's all we were asking for. We want to come back to the Plan Commission on the other four items.
Right. I do want to, you leave and we go to Weekly Franciscan, I do want to express concern about the length of the development process. As you know, I said right from the get-go that this was going to be a very controversial site, and that asked you if there was other sites in the city that you might want to take a look at. You have a quality business. There's no two ways about it. We also have other businesses that may want to come in and do business with Franklin. Maybe we have a developer that wants to build Bayshore and builds the crossroads section if you leave. I think it's very important that the people understand that the world has changed regarding economic development and trying to get good developments in cities and municipalities. Just in the city of Milwaukee, my recollection that both Milwaukee County and the City of Milwaukee were willing to offer something like $125 million to Kohl's Corporation to have them come into their city. I just heard that Menomonee Falls, in fact, may have landed Kohl's, but the price tag is to build all of the roads and something like a initial offer of $12 million. That's how significantly the game has changed for development. So I hope that when you leave here tonight that you'll understand that many of the people in Franklin, especially many of the elected officials, very much want to create a business-friendly environment. And and that if you can't build here and we can't come to consensus, that I hope that your business moves on and does not think ill of our city.
Mr. Mayor, we really appreciate the process. Frankly, all the citizens who came out, there are some familiar faces, people who have voiced their concerns from day one. But to be honest, what I've been most impressed with and very pleased are the majority tonight were speakers in support. And every one of our meetings has had speakers in support. And from my perspective, doing this for a living, I know it's most difficult to motivate those who are in support from coming out, and rather than sitting at home expecting that's what will happen. Those who are objectors usually are the ones who are here, and we've had significant support. So we know it would be controversial. You told us that from the beginning. But we've tried then and to certainly demonstrate our commitment to the site. As Mike Flickinger talked about, the family-owned company, Meyer, has almost 200 stores. And frankly, we were surprised that there was a complaint about the store appearance. So to a T, most of what we hear about all our stores is they're great. And that's what we want to bring to Franklin. And that's why we've invested in this process. So we appreciate that. You're trying to make it business friendly and move things through, but we also recognize that this process needs to play out in the right way, and if it means coming back August 9th, that's what we'll do to make this site even that much
better.
Well,
and please appreciate that the people that live in the area are greatly impacted by this. We have, and I'll also give this speech to the plan commissioners, we have in the past tried to go with we've gone to great lengths to try and minimize the impact to residents when development comes in. So I would first ask you to once again listen to the people in the area and then ask the plan commissioners to also take into consideration that the people in that particular area are very much impacted, and it means a lot to them. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
About 5 minutes to 10, and I'm going to take up Wheaton Franciscan project. It's a bit out of order, but I think we have several. And thank you, everyone, for your patience tonight. That'd be item C. Okay, I'm going to ask for order. It is late. I know a lot of people want to get out of here. They have busy days tomorrow. I, for one, would like to get out of here because it's hot and muggy. Item C is Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare, Franklin, Inc. Mr. Fuchs, where are we on this?
This was open for public hearing table of the July 5th Plan Commission meeting. Staff is recommending approval. As a reminder, probably not needed, but they are requesting approval of a special use for construction of a 64,800 square foot, three-story medical office building. It's the first phase of potential four-phase development. The applicant is requesting 5 waivers from the South 27th Street District standards. They are outlined on the agenda. And since the July 5th meeting, the applicant has made several revisions, adding 5 additional shrub plantings, I believe, relocating the garden public seating area further east, adding stone veneer to the pilasters on the first floor of the north and south elevations, and on a portion of the wall on the east and west elevations. They added a metal canopy over the staff entrance on the east elevation. They also relocated the dumpster enclosure, reorientated it to face north instead of east. So now the gate faces the parking lot instead of 27th Street. And minor changes to the location of the stormwater pond due to a potential fire on site.
Okay, my understanding is we are going to reconvene the public hearing that was not closed. Oh, I thought we...
This public hearing was closed.
We did close it, okay. And so what the plant commissioners have in front of them is revision or sections concerning the 27th Street corridor, and that my understanding is it would require 5 affirmative votes to get waivers for that.
That's correct.
And that would be item 3 on page 4 of 7 of the motions. And I have, of course, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 motions associated with this?
That's correct.
Just my luck. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, just a couple of things before there's a motion. On the agenda itself, there's a notice, if you will, about pending discussions regarding a development agreement to address terms of general property taxation of the existing property and facility, as well as the supporting acres, and that remains the fact. In any event, based on discussions with Wheaton's lawyer, right out of the gate, maybe the first week or so that we talked about this, there was a development agreement discussion. Did say, okay, at some point, a special use resolution should specifically state that 28 acres, all the uses and future development shall remain taxable and all types of taxable uses and structures. She recalled that we had done this on unrelated other special use type resolutions in the city. And then, secondly, was that the city engineer is concerned about potential need for development agreement for civilization on Wheaton Way, and staff did add a condition, which I believe was that 7.5, it was number 8, but it refers to a potential development agreement, TIA, and that condition should be expanded to that if the TIA provides DOT review and signalization is required, that a development agreement would be required and we would be required to install that signalization. So if the plan commission wishes to move towards adoption of the resolution, I do have those two conditions, which I would read in and add to this resolution.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, we do have a memorandum of understanding between Oak Creek, Franklin, and the DOT, signed by the mayor of both communities in 2007, and one of the conditions is to perform an updated traffic impact analysis of TIA in accordance with state guidelines to reflect any development to be constructed. So we are actually by agreement, whether Oak Creek or Franklin adds any construction to use Wheaton Way, it would utilize Wheaton Way, we have to do a modification of the TIA. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but they need to go on. And I would suggest that what they do is do it for each building, basically what they have, and then we won't have to do it. And if it shows that we don't need a signal until the third or fourth building is built, then we can go ahead and allow those buildings to be built. And then if it's the fifth building that triggers the signal, we'll know that. And I think that'll be more cost-effective for them, so they'll know where they're at, too.
All right. As far as the motions that... maybe I should ask if any of the plant commissioners have questions or concerns.
To understand, to the attorney's comments, there would be revisions to the draft resolution, which are yet to be read into the record, but that would be the procedure.
Maybe it's just the length of the day or something, but or maybe it's because I met two different governors. But I have a listing of of motions here. Are you asking that that which you would like to read be added to the motions?
No.
Okay.
What I'm suggesting is the motions are waivers. I suggest that those motions occur first. The last motion is to approve the resolution of the special use.
Correct.
I would further read in on condition 13 and add a new condition 14 so that the plan commission had that and could incorporate that into
the motion. Okay. You had me up until you said take up the special use and then add it, and then you said add 13.
Do you have motions on the waivers?
Okay. Let's do the motions on the waivers.
There you go. Okay.
That's what I was trying to get to. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0352C.2 pertaining to parking?
So moved.
Second.
All right. And this would require five affirmative votes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0355C.5 pertaining to roofline?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0355C.5 pertaining to facades, facades?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0355C.6 pertaining to public building entryways?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to waive the required standards under Chapter 15-3.0355C.9 pertaining to refuge containers?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item, Mr. City Attorney.
Now if I would read in the proposed added condition language and the commissioner move the special use resolution approval, they can say it's included.
Okay, and you're going to read that in the form of a motion?
Yes. With regard to motion is to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a new medical office building greater than 40,000 square feet in area use upon property located at 9969 South 27th Street with in the form and content as presented to the Plan Commission on July 19, 2012 with the addition to condition number 13 in the draft resolution to include the following language, and that if the city engineer so recommends and the city determines that traffic signalization is required or the Wisconsin Department of Transportation so determines upon its review of the analysis, applicant shall obtain approval of a development agreement requiring and securing same prior to the issuance of a building permit. New condition number 14, as a condition of the approval of this special use, the property and all improvements and uses to be developed and operated thereon shall at all times remain taxable and not tax exempt for the reasons set forth in the development agreement for the existing parcel.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Any other action required here tonight regarding the Franciscan matter, Mr. Fuchs?
No.
All right. thank you, gentlemen, ladies, for your patience for tonight. I was always wondering what this was for, and now I understand. It's for this.
Don't hit yourself too hard.
Okay. And I apologize for not taking up B, but we had quite a few people here from Wheaton Franciscan. Franklin Investment Properties, Skies Public Horse Stable Business, Mr. Fuchs.
The property owner is requesting approval to rezone the subject property from R1 to A1, amend the comp plan, future land use map designation from residential to agriculture, and approval of a special use to allow for a public horse stable business. Distributed tonight was a letter from the property owner to the north, who is in attendance as well, with some concerns regarding the project. Staff is recommending approval.
It's from two of the owners, Jerry Schaefer and Janet Schaefer, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just for the record, Mr. Schaefer, as many of us know, is the superintendent of Public Works, world's greatest superintendent of public works in the world. Do you have a public notice to read?
Yes. I believe there are two.
Okay. Would you like to read both of them? I think we can take them both together. Correct, Mr. City Attorney? He nods yes.
All right, the public hearing notice for the rezoning reads as follows. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 19th, 2012 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter, as the item may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Franklin Investment Properties, LLC, for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land from R1 Countryside/Estate Single Family Residence District to A1 Agricultural District for the property located at 11052-11056 South 76th Street. And the public hearing notice for the special use reads as follows. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, July 19, 2012 at 7 o'clock p.m. or soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Franklin Investment Properties, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 752, Animal Specialty Services, to allow for a public horse stable business use upon property currently zoned R1 Countryside/Estate Single Family Residence District, providing applicant obtains the approval of applicant's other application of even date to rezone the property to A1 Agricultural District to allow for same located at 11052-11056 South 76th Street.
All right. I'm going to open up item B1, Franklin Investment Properties, for public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item B1? Yes, sir.
I'm Jerry Schaefer, 8234 South 34th Street, Franklin. I guess one of the things I was wondering, if there'd be with finding out exactly what they're planning on doing. I really didn't know anything about what the neighbors were planning on doing until we received a public hearing notice. And so I'm not even exactly sure of what is planned. I realize there's a lot going on there already with the landscape contractors and whatnot that work out of there. And there's another large building to the south side of the property. I believe they store a lot of landscape materials there also. So I was wondering if, does that mean that the landscape contracting business and whatnot keeps going on also? And we would also have quite a few concerns about, if it does turn into a public stables, how large can this get? I mean, how many horses can they have there? Would they be able to allow for renting horses and having horseback riding, would that also be allowed with this? And would they be able to have other events there at the site? Things like that. We're really not familiar with their plans.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address.
I'm John Telsky. I'm the attorney for Mr. Pushnik. He was here, but unfortunately he had a family matter that he had to leave to attend, so
I can't speak for Mr. Pushnik directly, I can tell you what I know of his plans and why he did this. Currently, it is a stable where 11 horses are boarded. The only thing he intends to add is that he has one of the people that uses the stable wants to be allowed to have children who have some sort of mental disability ride the horses within the arena. That apparently that is a very helpful thing for them to do. He's not asking that there be any other horses brought in, only the horses that are currently there. Nothing will change. There will not be disruption of traffic in any way. The staff has put a limit on there, and he's agreeable to that. It's just 11 horses and no outside horses being brought in for that purpose. There will not be any shows of any kind, what goes on the land will not change dramatically, except that every once in a while there'll be another person coming in, bringing in a child to ride on the horses. The land is already abutting the A1 area already. The area to the east of it is A1, so it's a consistent request for zoning. And the staff has requested certain things which Mr. Pushnik has agreed to, everything that the staff has requested.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Please state your name and address for the record.
Ken Skoronsky, 8642 South 116th Street. I am the alderman representing the 6th District. Although this paper is not in my district, I have some questions regarding the amount of horses. If I remember right, our code says you need 5 acres for the first horse and an acre for every additional horse that would be housed there. I don't know how many acres are there presently. How many?
Yeah, I think it's closer to 11.
Well, then there's too many horses there to start with. The question would be, is the manure and things of that nature that those houses, the horses would be producing, is there adequate facilities to house that, and how is the present septic system, because there's no surround that area presently, and how will that be affected by the amount of horses or the area where it's at? So those are some things that should be found out, I think, before proceeding in this matter. On this area, I realize we do have rural areas, we do have residential areas, but I think there's a few things in order to protect the neighbors on their facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder.
Tim Solomon, 8026 South Mission Drive. Couple of questions. Maybe the city planning staff ought to go out and take a look at what's going on that property right now, because it's zoned R1. I don't believe that landscaping businesses, and I think there's probably 3 or 4 of them out there, there's piles of crap all over that property. It's a dump. So until it's cleaned up, I don't think we're going to allow them to do anything. It looks horrendous. I go past that about once a week. And the other scenario is if you're going to have handicapped kids, I don't know if we've got handicapped facilities out there. It's a big question. I see a 1,700-foot structure there, 2 stories, but I don't know, you know, whether it's that's the only 1 bathroom, 2 bathrooms. That's where they're going to have to go. Is there a residence in that house? Because I don't see anything there that tells me they're adding any facilities for this. So I'd be very questionable on this one.
All right. Thank you, Alderman. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Fuchs, what are you asking of the Plan Commission?
Staff is recommending approval of all 3 applications.
Are you recommending approval in light of the testimony from the Public hearing.
We did receive Mr. Schaefer's email prior to the meeting. I think the other businesses on site, staff's not aware of any businesses on site, if they're there, they are not operating with any permits. We have no use approvals on file, so typically we would treat that as a enforcement. If there are uses operating there illegally, they should not be, and we would address that with a complaint if a complaint was made or is directed by the Plan Commission. We also felt that with keeping at 11 horses the same as the special use approved in 1991 for the private stable, we did not think it was a significant change from what is being used out there currently, and the applicant will have to comply with all building code requirements as far as restroom facilities.
Okay, and these would be, if in fact the Plan Commission made motions tonight, they would be advisory motions to the Common Council?
Correct.
So the Council could accept or reject them?
Correct.
Okay. City Attorney?
Well, yeah, I'm concerned when I hear an alderman mention a 1 horse per acre limit. Is staff aware of any perhaps municipal code raising animals?
I believe it's 3 horses per acre.
There's a minimum requirement of 3 acres.
Three acres per horse.
For the first horse. And then, I believe the language states acre or after that. But this approval for how many animals there are on the lot right now was not subject to, it's subject to a special use approval, as Mr. Cook stated, from 1991 that states 11 animals. That was a condition of special use approval.
Mr. Mickley?
With enormous respect to Mr. Schaefer, who's helped me in the past with problems around the foundation and stuff. My son does hippotherapy. It's horse riding therapy, a form of horse riding therapy. Down in the town of Rome, the exit by the Cheese Castle. And they have it's a rural setting. I looked at this property on Google Earth, and it looked to be a lot like this particular property. They don't have a paved parking lot because the kids all, when they're going on the horses, they put their horse boots on. They don't feel that they have to have a paved area there. I'm from up in Wausau. We've got horses, chickens, things up there, and horse manure really doesn't smell that bad, if at all. Chickens, you don't want chickens near you, that's for sure. If there's a way we can see clear to get this to work out, whether it's the present business, if there's a present business on the property and it has to be cleared off, I think this would be a great benefit to the community if it doesn't obviously impinge upon the neighbors. But the experience that I've had, and I could give you the name of the facility if you'd like to drive down there, is that in the facility we go to, very quiet, because they're a commercial facility, they have to have restroom facilities that are accessible by all anyway. So being the asset that I think it could be, I'd like to make sure that we can make everybody happy and have this occur.
Okay. Mr. Ritter?
Well, I would just say that through letter received to the Plan Commission or through comments at public hearing, I would, the question I had is, the applicant was requesting, or the applicant documentation says 10 equestrian stalls are proposed, same number currently on the property. So the 11, and I was wondering where the 11 number came from. That's from an existing special use? Is that
correct? One that was approved in 1991 stated 11 horses.
Okay. Well, apparently the 10 stalls are proposed in the order of what is being requested. Question has come up about the number of animals that should be proposed on the amount of land available and so forth. Other questions that were raised. Frankly, I would be prepared to move to refer this matter back to staff for consideration and evaluation of the comments and the communications provided to the Plan Commission and comments at the public hearing, including other businesses currently operating on the site, and number of animals that would be appropriate based on the land available and so forth, and then have this matter returned to the Plan Commission
after those matters have been evaluated by staff.
Is that your motion?
I will make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Under discussion, Mr. Haley and Mr. Fuller.
Question for staff, maybe they can't answer. Do you know if the parcel directly to the south of the subject parcel is owned by the same individuals? It's out of the county.
It's on the ramp.
Okay. I think we need to look at what's going on there. I'm taking a close look at this aerial photograph there, and these two properties are literally merged as one, and there's significant landscape operations going on both. Site grading, there's a lot more than a few horse stables going through here, and I think as much as I think what they're proposing to do for the disadvantage is a great thing that we should be considering, I'd like to know a lot more about what's going on this site in terms of compliance right now.
Ms. Fowler, it's your time. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you for your patience tonight for sitting here. It's very. I know you've got a day job. Item E, People's Choice Corporation. Poor Mr. Aldridge, he's had to sit there again. It's like the last item. I don't know why we do that. Mr. Fuchs.
This is a CSM containing the two properties that make up Plan Development District number 34, the Hampton Inn Suites and Car Care Center development. The applicant is requesting reapproval in order to have the CSM recorded with Milwaukee County. There are no changes from the 2009 version that was reapproved by the Plan Commission Common Council. And the CSM, as proposed, does not prohibit the recently approved Scrub Plus project, which remodels the Car Care Center.
Okay. Any questions? Comments? Mr. Bennett.
To try to work out everything and to make it work for everybody, I've talked to the city attorney about this, we have the original certified survey map required a development agreement primarily for the hotel site because there's going to be entrance off of 76th Street, probably have left turn lanes and everything else that have to be built. Stormwater management, water main extensions. The car wash really doesn't need any public improvements or a development agreement. So we're suggesting that we not require a development agreement for this land division such that the car wash can go ahead immediately, and that when the hotel proceeds to get a building permit, then we require a development agreement for the hotel. At that time, that will relieve Mr. Eldridge for investing money in a letter of credit and all and to figure out what the costs are, because I don't even believe we have a permit from the county yet, so we don't even know what the county is going to require for turn lanes. And that if Mr. Eldridge would like to extend sewer and water through the car wash area, which they're planning an easement, prior to the development, that we just have a separate development agreement for those sewer and water extensions through the property, and that way he'll only have to post a letter of credit and development agreement for those two items. I think that will work out the best for him. It will immediately allow the car wash to proceed, and I think this will work and still protect the city's interest.
The city attorney.
He suggested a change to the resolution in the packet based on what the city engineers requested. This is after talking to scrub representatives, their lawyer, Mr. Eldridge, et cetera, over the last week. It would be to add to the resolution statement that condition number 3 on the 2008 resolution 2008-6467 be amended to provide that the development contract is required prior to any hotel construction or development or permits therefore and not prior to recording, and further that should any determination be made by a property owner that sewer and water laterals are to be installed upon the scrub plus portion of the property or development contract shall be required to approve prior to any construction or development or permits therefore.
I'd so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. Ritter.
Just development contract versus development agreement?
Yep. That's because I have a K. It's a contract. Development agreement.
Okay. I accept the change.
Okay, sorry.
Mr. Haley, I was just trying to remember your name.
for clarification, I believe at the last meeting we did take action to approve the scrub, and I thought I was told that they were going to be installing the lateral for the sewer and water to the northern site as part of the site work.
Right. No, I think Mr. Haley just
as long as it's resolved. Yeah, there was an easement on the...
There's quite an easement.
And cross-access agreements are in place. I think that was another requirement.
Excuse me. Condition of approval. So they will have to be recorded with the CSM.
Thank you. All right, there's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Trails Committee?
I forgot. How long ago was that? We had a meeting today where we have developed a proposal to bring to the council. We think we're going to bring it not to the next council meeting, but to the...
No, the next one.
Next one, I'm sorry. The hope is to get to the next council meeting.
That's what I'm doing tonight.
And a staff report that can be done on time. And so that'll be about the changing the Trails Committee to Complete Streets and with guidance documents to follow. We have not heard about the grant even, sorry.
Under discussion, just for what it's worth, I was at a function today. The Clear Blue, a number of people came up to me and told me to tell whoever that they do not want sidewalks in their subdivisions. This in particular was Needle Lane, and wanted me to know in certain terms to communicate that to the Trails Committee. Just communicate. So no action required?
No action. Just information for the plan.
All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Already? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Well, that was.